and good evening. This is The Right Perspective. I'm Frank of Queens, along with my good friend and co-host, John of Staten Island.
We've got some good news for you, and some bad news. We're having a little trouble getting these program up to take phone calls. That's the bad part. So as of right now, we can't take any phone calls because it's not coming through the board, and I can't get the program up to start it. And that's the bad news. And we were going to have the news guy call in to make a great announcement. Now it's like 50-50. We do have some good news in that the Right Perspective is using a new broadcast system tonight called Shoutcast instead of a Live 365, although we'll be holding on to Live 365 to archive the show so that you can hear the show and the best of John and Frank. After the show, it will be uploaded to be archived on there, and you can listen to the show the way you were normally, but we're broadcasting tonight via Shoutcast, which is a better system. It's better quality, and it solves the biggest problems that we've been having, and we've been getting a lot of complaints about, you know, the skipping in the audio and the buffering problem where you'd have to wait 10 or 15 seconds until it caught up, and the streaming would pick up from that point on. So we have a lot more listener slots. We have a better audio quality, hopefully. You'll let us know that. We're all working on it for the last couple of days, and the news guy did a lot of hard work, and I wanted to give him the honor of making the announcement tonight, but we can't take the damn phone call. So it's always it's one thing or the other. So while we're doing the show tonight, I'll try and work on getting this screen up so we can get the program up and take some phone calls later on. But the news guy worked on this with me and Frank, and trying to get the settings right and get the account set up and the PayPal and trying to get the payment over. And there was a lot of confusion and problems. The last 2 days we've been going crazy, but it finally fell into place. We have it lined up now. We're still getting acclimated to all of the new things we have to do with it. You know, a few things, and monitoring the program and seeing how things work. But hopefully you can hear a better quality sound, and we get rid of that big, big problem that people were having. And the best part, and the news guy was great at this, he has set up a link on our website. There's actually two links now. There'll be one temporarily, probably, so you can access Live 365 and listen to the archive, just like you were doing all along. And there's also going to be a separate link so that you can access the show directly. There's no more handshaking with Live 365, you know, all that pearl diving that you had to do to find the show. And that was a pain in the neck. A lot of people complained about that, and it was hard to access the show. But now you just go to the website, therightperspective.com, click on Listen Live, and that link will take you directly to the show. You can also access the show directly if you want to go to TalkStream Live and you're watching all the shows over there. There'll be, if you click on the show, The Right Perspective, that also will take you directly to the live show. It's TalkStreamLive.com, and the show will come right up. No more problems. Starting off with a little bit of a bump in the road with the phone calls, but at least we hope the quality of the broadcast is a little better. And we also have a lot more slots for listeners, so a lot more visitors joining us on the show live, and we've been getting a lot of calls and new callers, and the phones have been burning up for the last couple of weeks, and we're very disappointed about this problem with the phones, because we were going to have a couple of great guests tonight, so we won't even be able to have them unless I get this thing working. So we're sorry about that, but we hope that you enjoy the new broadcast quality and less problems and the easier access to the show. I want to thank the news guy for working hard on this with us for the last couple of days. He did a lot of work. And, you know, it's tough doing these kinds of things over the phone when you're trying to get settings correct in the program and all that. And you're online with the people, the Shoutcast people, the server, you know, and the people who provide the software. So the news guy just seems to have a knack for this kind of thing. He just automatically knows how to set these things up in the software. And we both, all of us worked very hard on this to get it set up, and we hope it works out eventually. So while Frank is giving you his introduction tonight and his wonderful opening remarks as usual, I'll try and work on this problem here that just seemed to pop up. I don't know why. Just a couple of minutes before the show, and maybe we can get these phones up and running again. All right, Frank, take over.
Okay.
Throw the switch.
All right. And we had tonight from 10 until 11 Eastern North Salutrian time on the Two Friends Radio Network, and we're transmitting on 3.215 megahertz WWCR, and we're broadcasting from the Rod Coppola Memorial Studio and Two Friends Broadcast Production Facilities here in the Metropolitan New York area. Well, I'm not going to give out the numbers because the lines are down. In fact, we were going to have, supposed to have Philip Berg on, who's going to be talking again about his suit to get the foreign occupier to put up his birth certificate. And we'd find out that we'd have a constitutional crisis. But what can you do? We are either a nation of laws or we're just another third-rate banana republic in the jungle. And then at 11, we were going to have talk radio legend Barry Farber on. That's B-A-R-R-Y-F-A-R-B-E-R. Barry Farber. So I was a guest on Barry's program Tuesday night, and if you go to the website, you can hear the podcast of the interview that Barry did with me on a Tuesday night. So we hope to get the phones started, and then we can get your calls, and we can continue from there. But, you know, it really has been bothering me how they've been very adept at turning off criticism of this foreign occupier. And the occupation will become official on January 20th when the foreign occupier and his minions seize power and take over the Oval Office and befoul the White House. That'll be on January 20th. When the occupation becomes official. And so what they've been doing is any time you criticize him, they come out with, why don't you give him a chance? Well, I'll take you back in history to when Rudolph W. Giuliani first became mayor of the city of New York. And he went up to Harlem to the Abyssinian Baptist Church to speak to the people up there after defeating their candidate, David Dinkins. And I will never forget this. And there was Rudy. He was up at the podium, and he was saying, you know, speaking. And every time he spoke, all they did was boo and catcall and shout him down. And Rudy kept saying, please, you know, just give me a chance. I will never forget him saying, please, just give me a chance. So when it came to Rudolph W. Giuliani saying, give me a chance, now they don't want to give him a chance. But now that their boy has illegally seized the government of the United States with his coup d'etat, now if you dare to criticize him, suddenly you don't want to give him a chance. Well, I'll be damned if in this country I can't criticize him. And I'll be damned in this country if anybody's going to tell me that I don't have a right to criticize him. I didn't vote for him, unfortunately. And by the way, I voted for John McCain. But one of the good things is, now that the election is over, those of you who voted for McCain can finally take your finger off your nose. You don't have to hold your nose anymore. You can breathe through your nose now. It's over. You know, I'm finished with McCain. I couldn't care less about him now. But the foreign occupier, all they say is, why don't you give him a chance? Hey, they didn't give Rudy Giuliani a chance. And, you know, some people on NIMBusters got upset that I called him Jungle Boy. It upset them. Let's straighten a couple of things out. George Bush was called a drunken frat boy. He was called Hitler. You want to talk about bigotry? Let's go over the past 8 years when they kept saying that George Bush is a fanatical fundamentalist Christian and George Bush wants to plunge us into a nuclear holocaust because he has these Christian apocalyptic beliefs. You remember that? I remember that. I remember that quite well. That's all they said. He's a Christian fundamentalist, and his Christian beliefs are in an apocalypse, and that's what he wants. Remember that, folks? Nobody talked about religious bigotry then with George Bush, did they? Oh, that was fine to say that. Oh, they're upset. I call him Little Mugabe. Hey, they called George Bush Hitler. They said he was shredding the Constitution. You remember that? You know, when I was up in Quebec 3 years ago, I had to be physically restrained by the person I was with because I was going to get up and go over to the next table in this restaurant and slap the crap out of this son of a bitch that's sitting there with the smarmy mouth going, George Bush has to be the stupidest president in history. He has to be the worst president in history. Oh, that was all right. That was all right. But this foreign occupier who can't even produce his birth certificate. Oh, why don't you give the man a chance? Oh, then they don't want us to say anything. When they threw rotten fruit at George Bush's limousine in the motorcade, that was fine. But now when it comes to the foreign occupier, they don't want it. And that's the foretaste. That is the foretaste of what they have. We got the phone lines?
Yep.
All right, do you want to put the news guy on?
Well, if you want to, Frank, I told him, you know, if he wanted to come on instead of my remarks and let you finish whatever you wanted to finish up there with.
Right.
It's up to you.
All right, well, let me finish up.
Okay.
So that was all right. So from day one, because they got shut out of the White House, they didn't stop their demands of power. And now we have someone who trucks with terrorists. William Ayers is a terrorist. This is his a friend. Well, I was only 8 years old. Well, I mean, he sat on the board with him. Why didn't he get up and leave the board? Why didn't he say, I will not sit on the Annenberg Foundation with him? I will not allow this. I will not dignify it. No, instead, he sat there with him. And don't give me this crap that he didn't, he didn't know, he wasn't aware, or people sit on these boards and they know who they're with. This guy was a politician, believe me. He knew everything that he was doing. Hey, would he have sat down with this, let's say this 96-year-old Nazi that's down in the Patagonias of the Argentines? Let's say he's on a board. Would he have said, I wasn't even born when this guy was in Germany. I have nothing to do with it. So I'm not going to allow them to get away with their lies. They have lies and distortion. And that's what they've been doing. And that's what he's been doing. But when you have the Ministry of Lies on your side, you can do anything. And, you know, it's amazing to say that we're on the fringe, to say that we're bigots. Let's straighten some things out for these people that emailed us. First of all, who's on the fringe? You've got a foreign occupier who's going to sit in the White House and befoul it on January 20th, who went to a bigoted church of color with Jeremiah Wright, who belonged to a black hate cult. So who's on the fringe? He was involved with Jeremiah Wright. Who's more on the lunatic fringe than Jeremiah Wright? With his left brain, right brain. Who's on the lunatic fringe? The foreign occupier. That's who's on the lunatic fringe. In fact, he's involved with William Ayers, a left-wing degenerate who should have been hung for treason for what he did, with his organization, the Weather Underground. You want to talk about a lunatic fringe? He went to Farrah Crapp's Million Man Force down in Washington, D.C. So who's involved with the lunatic fringe? A bigot? Oh, isn't this the man who wrote about white, called his grandmother a typical white person? You want to talk about bigotry? He belonged to that church for 20 years. How could he not be a racist of color? See, they're very convenient at name-calling, because by calling you racist, that's how they want to stop any and all dissension or criticism for the next 4 years. They want to slowly put the noose around our neck and squeeze it tight till we can't speak anymore. They want to use everything at their disposal to stop freedom of speech. How many of these talk show hosts now are deathly frightened? You don't think Hannity's frightened? He's going to lose his $10 million job. He's deathly frightened. But we're not, because we only depend upon our listeners who are making contributions to the great WWCR. We don't have any sponsors. We don't have to worry about a sponsor saying, you can't say that. We don't have to worry about people saying they're going to boycott the products that we sell. We don't sell it. We're just two typical white men, two typical white people who are expressing our opinion, which we're guaranteed under the blessed constitutional franchise, which is not a privilege, but which is a right. And they want to take that right from us. Well, they'll have to pry this microphone from my cold, dead fingers, because I want my country back. Let's go to the news guy. Well, news guy, welcome.
Hey, Frank, great monologue as always. It's really something there. And you know, as John had mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're now on a new broadcast system called Shoutcast. And it's hopefully a lot easier for people to listen to the show. There's not going to be all of that, like John said, handshaking that usually happens with the Live 365. You're not going to get kicked off after an hour and all of this. We're still going to be having Live 365 up and running for a 24-hour archive stream for the time being. But right now, the way to listen to it live is through this new Shoutcast server. I hope that everybody is enjoying the new sound quality and more easier way to listen to the show.
All right, now, news guy, George the Atheist is not able to get the broadcast. He says, I'm clicking all over your homepage and nothing comes on. I get a window that says, do you want to save this file or find a program online to open it? When I click find, nothing happens.
Okay, what he has to do is that program, that file that he's opening up, it's called listen.pls, and that's a Winamp playlist file. So what he has to do is to just open with, and whatever his default media player is, that should open up with the listen PLS file, and then he'll be able to listen.
Okay, so he has to click on open with and then click on his particular player?
Right. It could be if he has Winamp installed, or if he has the other one, which is the Windows Media Player, and then that will just open up and he'll be able to listen.
Okay, now does he have to do this every time he wants to listen to the show, or is it just one time?
No, well, he has to go, and when it says this open listen TLS file, there's a box at the bottom. It says do this automatically for files like this from now on.
Okay.
So he just clicks on the little button there. He makes a little check mark, and that will tell his computer whenever it comes across a listen TLS file, it will open up the media player, his default media player, and whatever stream is running will start to operate. Will start to flow through his system. He'll be able to hear the show.
All right. Now, what happens if you want to go to TalkStream Live and you click on the show? Will the show come up automatically like that?
Yes, the show will come up automatically as it always has been. I put the link for TalkStream Live down there. The people over at TalkStream Live have the new link, and they've already set it up. So anybody who clicks through to the show listening on TalkStream Live, they're listening through this new link that we set up tonight.
All right, so if he goes to TalkStream Live now and just clicks on the right perspective, the show should come up no matter what player he has? Or it'll just
He's still going to have that issue with the PLS file.
Oh, okay. Wow.
What he has to do with the PLS file is to simply, again, click on the radio button that says open with, and whatever his default media player should be coming up like that. If it's Winamp or if it's Windows Player. And then he clicks on the box at the bottom. It says, do this automatically for files like this from now on.
Yeah.
And then he clicks OK. And then in a matter of seconds, he should start getting the show. So he should start getting the show, and it should be streaming.
Okay.
Usually it's if he doesn't have Winamp installed, he should install Winamp. I would recommend that. But
yeah,
you should also work with Windows Media Player on this.
Okay. See, I didn't know this. Now, if I had known this, I would have told people that they were going to have this problem, because the way it sounded like, you know, all you have to do is just click on, you know, the link, and the show would come up automatically. So,
well, yeah, it does. It does. But I don't know why he has this problem right now.
Yeah, nobody else has.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, why don't you... Okay, tell the people about the new system and how it's going to work, and I'll just send George a quick message, because he's probably very frustrated now, because he can't hear your explanation right now, because he can't get online.
You know what? I also...
I just sent you an email with his address.
Okay, so I will...
oh, that's good. Okay.
Contact him like that.
All right. Tell George the news guy is going to contact him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get fired, and he'll tell them what to do.
Okay.
You'll do that, right, news guy?
Yeah, I'll do that when I get off the phone with you.
Now the other people, this program, or the Shoutcast program, probably picks a compatible player and just starts it up for them.
Right.
Right.
But I guess George didn't have a compatible player.
Yeah, that's so strange, because it's... You know, what happens is when you click on the link, so it will come up and it will say, all right, do you want me to install, not to install it, but what do you want me to do with this file? And then it'll say, okay, open it up with my default audio player. Whoops.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. It'll say, open it up with my default media player, whatever that default media player is, Winamp or Windows Media Player.
All right. All right. Well, you know what? I think we've explained pretty much how the things are going to work, and it should be clear, and that we're not going to have these problems. Why don't you get on the horn there, instant message George so he doesn't get frustrated, and tell him what the problem is and let him do it, and you know, so we can get online. And then if you want to come back on and you know, we want to do a little bit more.
Well, we got Phil Berg coming up at 10:30, correct?
Yeah. So, you know,
Phil Berg at 10:30 and Barry Farber at 11 o'clock.
Right. And then later on in the show, we'll explain a little bit more what we've done, because we're going to have new people coming in and listening on the show. Now, you know that website that's supposed to come up and show you, just like on Live 365, how many listeners and everything? Can you bring that up, Frank?
That
bring up that website, because we don't right now. It's blank.
Yeah, it says currently down.
Oh. Click the refresh button.
Click the refresh button, thing, Frank. Is there a refresh on that? Or
no.
Right-click on the website and see if it comes up refresh. There you go.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, there it is. There it is, new guy.
How many listeners are on there?
Well, it's
not many, but I guess people are going to...
they've got to find out about this.
Yeah.
They got to hear about it first.
All right.
But there it is. Very good.
Oh, we got the capacity, you know, for the...
Yeah.
A lot of capacity there. So, okay, so we know how to use that now. All right, great.
Okay.
All right, so, yeah, get the instant message going there with George the Atheist so he doesn't get frustrated. And we'll get into this a little bit more. But, you may say, okay, look, you told us about it. But you know what, folks? This is a big improvement.
Yeah.
Because we had a lot of complaints from people about the, the skipping. And it bothered me, too, when I could hear it in the archives.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people would get frustrated and tune out because they didn't want to deal with the buffering problem. We shouldn't have that anymore.
Yeah, well, Linda said that. It's working very well. Great job.
Great.
All right.
Great. Because, that is very frustrating when I get the archives and, like, maybe Cheryl's call or maybe John's monologue.
Yeah, it's like Morse code.
Yeah.
So sometimes, it's not that much, but when it happens, it still bugs you.
It's very frustrating.
And a lot of times it happens at a key point.
Exactly.
So you're not going to have that anymore, folks. So.
All right, I'll speak to you guys later.
Okay. Paul, great going, and thanks a lot.
Okay, no, okay.
And thanks, folks, for being patient, but we're all excited about this because anything that makes it nicer for our listeners to listen to, and stay tuned to the program, because a lot of people would tune out when they get these frustrating things. We finally decided this week, within the course of one day, let's get this thing done, and let's get it up and running for a better quality of the show. And it's better for us as well, because when we know that you're enjoying the broadcast and you don't have these problems, you know, we feel better about it as well. And we ask you to tune in, and then you tune in and you get frustrated. That's no good. So we want to thank everybody for being patient and hanging in there with us. And we're going to have our guest, Philip Berg, at the bottom of the hour. And
then talk.
And then we're going to have the great Barry.
At 718-761-9996. 718-761-9996. See, now, John, that black bigot that emailed us.
Yeah, did you see my responses?
Yes. Yes. See, that bigot calls us racist, but doesn't mean anything to me. But I noticed that there wasn't anything from that, and that's the way that they never will debate you on the issue, because they can't. But what they do is they won't talk about his involvement with Jeremiah Wright. Now, that they won't talk about. Or the terrible homophobia that's in the black community.
Yeah.
Voting down the right of homosexuals to be married in California. Why, that's bigotry and homophobia. And people like that have to go into their own community and deal with that. And you know, talk to them and stop that kind of homophobia.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back. We're going to be lining up Philip Berg. He'll be on at a few minutes. And your calls at 718-761-9996. We got to get our country back.
That's right.
Captain Ross, is this your final word?
No, Excellency. It's true we Americans don't know very much about you Japanese. I never did. And now I realize you know even less about us. You can kill us. All of us are part of us. But if you think that's going to put the fear of God into the United States of America and stop them from sending other fires to bomb you, you're wrong. Dead wrong. They'll come by night and they'll come by day. Thousands of them. They'll blacken your skies and burn your cities to the ground and make you get down on your knees and beg for...
All right, that's the great Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods.
And if you'd like to help the Right Perspective, help us to keep growing, and we have to grow, because what's going to happen is they're going to cut down on commercial talk radio. As it is now on commercial talk radio, you can hear most of them are really running scared because they're afraid of the fairness doctrine. They're really afraid that they're not going to be able to broadcast. Or they'll just have to, as they've always done, they'll just have to temper what they say. Well, we don't have to do that on the Right Perspective. So if you make out a check or money order to WWCR, not to us, but to WWCR, and send that to John and Frank and John, Box 117-9508 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209, we can stay on shortwave. I can't do anything about shortwave or the Internet. So if you don't have an Internet connection, well, you'll always be able to hear us on shortwave on WWCR. That's the advantage. Otherwise, you're not really going to be able to hear much. I mean, you know, you got the kooks and wackos who spread disinformation anyway. We just give you the straight facts, and we give you an honest opinion. And that's our opinion, and we allow you to get on. You have an opportunity to get on here and speak, which you really will never have on AM radio. You know, it's 30 seconds, 10 seconds. The guy gas bags for like 45 minutes. He comes to a commercial, and then what happens? All right, you got 10 seconds. You don't get that on the Right Perspective. We give you as much time as you need, or within reason, which you're never going to get. And we give you great guests, and we do a lot of things on the Right Perspective that they're just not doing on regular talk radio.
Yeah,
so,
and I'm sorry, Frank. Did you want to continue with the...
So if you want to help us, we really need your help, because it's the only way we could stay on. We don't like to ask for that. You know, this is a losing proposition for us, but we feel that it needs to be done. Because otherwise, there's just not going to be any outlet. And, you know, if we have to leave WCR, these things happen, you know, we'll still broadcast on the Internet. But we want to keep the shortwave for those who don't have the Internet. Plus, it gives you an opportunity to listen to the program when you don't have your computer. So you make out a check or money order to WWCR. Nothing to us, but to WWCR. And you send that to Frank and John with any other snail mail you may have. It's Box 117, 9508, 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. That's Frank and John, Box 117, 9508, 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. You know, our good friend Johnny Lightning said that he's not getting that many calls anymore. Last week we had a telephonic Chernobyl meltdown with the call, so... The show is going to continually grow, and you can help that by helping us stay on WWCR. If you don't want to sign your name, you don't have to. Just money order and leave it blank, but it must be made out to WWCR. And send that and any snail mail you may have to Frank and John, Box 117-9508, 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, last time. Frank and John, Box 117. 9508 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. And we really appreciate your help. If you've helped us before, we need you to help us again. And if you've never helped us, this would be a really good time to do it, because the contribution that you make is going to WWCR. Nothing is going to us ever. All right, John?
And the little Nazis, as Frank would call them, the little Mugabe and his... band of gangsters in Washington now. They're still at it, folks. The election's over, but they're still at it. They're trying to steal two more elections, one in Minnesota with that freak, Al...
Oh, man, Al Franken.
Suddenly all the missing ballots are for Al Franken and none...
Unbelievable.
...for Senator Coleman. And they want that supermajority, even if they're going to have three or four Republicans, liberal Republicans, to go along with them. But they want to make sure they get... And the other, trying to steal the other election from Saxby Chambliss, from him, and that'll be another seat. And it's really amazing the way that the Republicans, I guess they're trying some things, but if this were the Democrats, you'd have demonstrations across the country, folks. And this is where Republicans fall short. The Democrats would not allow this to happen.
We got our guest.
Yep, and we've got to do something about it. We've got to take our country back!
And by the way, how come the gays out in California aren't protesting at the black churches? Those are the ones that voted against it. They didn't go to the black churches. They didn't go to the Spanish-speaking churches. You know why? Because they'll get their heads handed to them. So they know if they go to the Mormon white bread churches, that nothing will happen. But you'll never see them go into the black church. They've gone into Catholic churches in the past. They've never gone into a black church. I wonder why. Could it be that they know that something might happen to them if they do? We got our guest?
No, that was Steve.
Oh.
I told him to call back. We're going to have the guest soon.
Right.
And, the other thing is, you had a lot of liberals calling blacks bigots.
Yeah.
I hope all those blacks that are being called bigots by those liberals in Hollywood and all those very violent individuals. These homosexual, violent individual people stomping on the cross when that 78-year-old woman was expressing her views, that she was for Prop 8. And this is what you have on the left, folks. It is the history of the left to stomp out. And I mean literally. I'm not talking about figuratively. They want to stomp out, kill you if they could.
Sure.
Any opposition. That's why they go around stealing elections. You know, to them, we, Republicans and conservatives, are so evil that no matter what they do in their mind, they're righteous because we're so evil. And yet every word out of their mouth and every action that they commit certainly tells us the opposite, that they are truly evil individuals. There was a lot of McCain supporters. You didn't see a lot of this stuff, but it's all leaking out. There were people who were being beaten up and attacked by Obama supporters. And, of course, right before they were beaten up, they were called, what we predicted, racist, because they were not for Obama. And welcome to Nazi Germany, folks. It's 1919. Who knows? We had a beer hall putsch, only the guy with the little mustache is black now. And to give you a taste of what you're in for, we're being hit from all sides. We didn't even get the taste of what Obama's going to do, but you know he's going to raise taxes. This is from the New York Post. We're just getting hit with this in New York. Governor Patterson came out. Now that gasoline prices are lower, now he's talking about raising the gasoline tax. Of course, will he lower it back down when the prices go back up, when the economy picks up again and more people start driving and going to the malls and the supermarkets and doing a little more driving and using more gasoline? No. They'll just go up and that's the end of it. It only works one way. But I guess Governor Patterson thinks that this is a permanent thing, so he wants to ruin a good thing. The high price of gasoline coming down, it's below $2 in many places.
Jersey.
Yeah, and other states. So, of course, being the liberal that he is, he can't stand this good news, so he has to try and spoil it for you. By you, I mean New Yorkers. I don't know what's going on in some of these other states with these liberal Republicans, Democrats, rather. They'll probably start talking about raising the gasoline tax because now that's a new way to get more revenue because since the economy has slowed down, that they're going to be looking for new ways to fill up the treasuries again. Here's Mayor Bloomberg. Don't forget, this guy's a liberal. He ran on the Republican ticket, but he's a liberal. There's no doubt about it. This reminds me of what David Dinkins did when he was mayor. Spreading the pain. It's doom and gloom on budget. Everything is doom and gloom with liberals. He wants a 7% increase in property tax as of January 1st to raise $576 million. He just lowered it last year from 18%. The year before, he raised it 18%. Then he lowered it 7%. And now he wants to raise it back up to 18%. List of optional tax hikes next year to raise $900 million. 7.5% or 15% increase in personal income tax. That'll raise another $585 million. Well, $1.17 billion if it's the higher, from the 7.5% to 15%. 0.125% sales tax increase. Another $146 million. Repeal sales tax exemption on clothing under $110. He says it'll raise $317 million more. Immediately rescind $400 annual rebate to small homeowners to save $256 million. Entire repeal of clothing tax exemption, $436 million. So here you have a list of 7 more taxes from one guy, just the mayor. We're not talking about what the governor and what the city council may do and what Obama's going to do. You're going to get clobbered if Obama raises his own taxes and then lets the Bush tax cuts expire at the end of 2010. That's when you will find out that the Bush tax cuts were not just for the so-called wealthy in this country, because everybody is going to get an increase in taxes, and that's when they'll realize, you know what, this guy lied to us. I hope they realize it, but people are so numb today and so unaware of so many things, they may not even notice it. It's really unfortunate, but this is what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen here in New York? The same thing that was going on when they had that clothing tax for less than $100. Everybody will go, since the gasoline is so much cheaper in New Jersey, people will go to New Jersey to shop instead of in New York, and they won't pay the taxes in New York, and they'll lose that much more money. They'll gladly go to New Jersey and buy their clothes over there and fill up the gas tanks over there for less price, and they'll make up for some of the money that they had to spend for tolls coming back into New York City. That's another thing they're talking about, raising the tolls. And then they want to put new tolls on the 4 East River bridges, the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, the Williamsburg Bridge, and the 59th Street Bridge. Folks, you should see the bottleneck traffic jams, especially on the 59th Street Bridge, when people are coming to work. Can you imagine if they put tolls there, the backups you're going to have? And isn't that going to cause more air pollution, Mr. Green Mayor?
Well, not only that, but how can you charge people to drive within, you know, to cross within their own city? In other words, so if you live in one of the other boroughs other than Manhattan, how could you charge people to drive into their own city? You're paying, you're a citizen of the city, you're a resident. How can you charge a resident to drive within his own city? It's just...
Well, it comes down to this, Frank. They can do anything they want.
Well, that's it.
And people have got to get angry enough and mad enough to stop this nonsense. When are they going to rise up? How many tax increases can you endure when you're already paying a lot more for things than you used to? They have absolutely no mercy. And then when you pick up a paper and you read that an aide to Governor Patterson here in New York didn't pay his taxes since the year 2000, and he said it was because he was depressed. He had taxpayer syndrome or something. This lawyer, what an excuse he used. Taxpayer filing syndrome.
Imagine.
And he doesn't pay, but he had money to pay his homosexual lover while he wasn't paying his taxes. And your taxes have to be increased because of the incompetence of New York City and New York State and the whole country, really. Because this is, it's not the only place that this thing is going on.
The toxic state.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of money, folks. It's just being all stolen.
Well, you know, speaking of stealing, I was talking to the news guy, And I've come up with what I believe is the correct definition of socialism. Now, you notice in the universities and the think tanks, they have these so-called intellectuals who talk about Marxist theory and the theory of the contradictions of capitalism, and they go through all these arcane and convoluted explanations, which really mean absolutely nothing. And then, you know, if you dare to question, for example, you know, the foreign occupant who's going to begin the first foreign occupation of the White House in history, the United States government, an occupation government that we'll be living on under, you know, they say you don't understand socialism. We don't understand socialism. We're just ignorant peasants. Well, here's the best definition. Socialism is, I'm jealous of what the other guy has, and I'm going to screw him over for it. That's basically what socialism is. I'm jealous of what you have, and I'm going to make sure that I take it from you. That's socialism. When little Mugabe, the foreign occupier, says he's going to spread the wealth, he's saying he's going to take it from you. That means that those who are jealous, it's one thing to be envious and say, I wish I had that. I mean, I wouldn't mind having that money, but, hey, that person has it. I have other things in my life. It plays on class jealously. Jealousy leads to hatred. Hatred leads to violence and murder. So socialism breeds hatred, violence, and murder. We only have to see it through the history of the 21st century and even see what's going on today in Cuba, North Korea, Venezuela, Vietnam, all of these countries. All of these countries that call themselves socialists, it's class jealousy, it leads to class hatred. So socialism, very simply, is I'm jealous of what you have, and I'm going to screw you over for it.
Yeah.
Now, let's say when it comes to a store, okay? Organized crime will extort people that own a business. They'll say, you know, hey, you know, if you don't pay a certain amount of money each week, well, your business could meet with an accident. Somebody could break your store windows. A fire could break out. You may get hurt leaving your store. Right? Now, people are in jail for that, racketeering and extortion. But what does the government do? The government says to a store owner, we're going to raise your taxes. We're going to fine you if you don't sweep the sidewalk. We're going to make sure that we find something on the sidewalk to fine you. So basically, the government extorts you. That's government extortion because they're taking that money and well, who is this foreign occupier to say that they're going to spread the wealth? What gives him the right to say that he could take your money and he knows what's best to do with your money? Is he going to say to you, the common good? You ever hear that phrase? The left loves that phrase, the common good. Well, if the common good says that the country's Medicare system is going to go bankrupt, it'll mean, obviously, that for the common good, those who are physically disabled, terminally ill, elderly, and, you know, confused, whatever, government can then say these people, it's best for the common good that they're done away with. They're a drag on society. They're a drag on our finances. It's for the common good. When somebody says to you the common good, you better reach for your Browning because they're coming for you.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. So remember, socialism comes out of class jealousy, class hatred, and that's all it is. It's just class jealousy, and it's they're jealous of you. They're going to take it from you.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, when I was playing one of my best of John and Frank tapes, because I'm putting the earlier versions into files now and trying to get them ready to for our DVD, that where we're going to have all the best of John and Frank on maybe one, at the most, 2 week DVDs, I came across this prediction of Frank, of Queens, about what the left will eventually do to us. Now, this is Frank, and then we're going to play the FBI agent who infiltrated Bill Lehrer's Weather Underground and asked him what the Weather Underground intended to do if they ever obtained power. And wait till you see the similarities, okay? This is Frank's call.
Darter for the Galapagos turtle. They will be great for each other. They have found their niche, Frank. Can't I cheer you up by pointing out that that crowd has found their niche?
No, because I'll tell you why. First of all, you know, when you said this about the ecology, we're going to see a new type of dictatorship in this country because they're going to tell us what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, how to travel. They have made themselves moral judge, jury, and authority by every facet of the American life. Their type of mentality with these eco-freaks and anti-nuclear fuse traps are going to threaten our very liberties as Americans.
Frank, you know, you are right, but you're always right too many years ahead of time. It's going to take them years to mess up the environment the way they messed up world politics and American foreign policy. Years. So maybe we'll think of something during those years. Thank you very much, Bob. Good talking to you. I'm Barry Farber.
Okay, and Barry's going to be our guest shortly. I forgot to tell you that was a call that Frank made to Barry Farber. And Barry's going to be our guest after the 11 o'clock break. And this was the FBI agent that infiltrated.
And when was that made?
Your call? Yes. That was about 1991.
All right.
And this is the FBI agent.
I brought up the subject of what's going to happen after we take over the government. You know, we become responsible then for administrating, you know, 250 million people. And there was no answers. No one had given any thought to economics. How are you going to clothe and feed these people? The only thing that I could get was that they expected that the Cubans and the North Vietnamese and the Chinese and the Russians would all want to occupy different portions of the United States. They also believed that their immediate responsibility would be to protect against what they called the counter-revolution. And they felt that this counter-revolution could best be guarded against by creating and establishing re-education centers in the Southwest. Where we would take all the people who needed to be re-educated into the new way of thinking and teach them how things were going to be. I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill. 25 million people. I want you to imagine sitting in a room with 25 people, most of which have graduate degrees from Columbia and other well-known educational centers, and hear them figuring out the logistics for the elimination of 25 million people. And they were dead serious.
That's what you're dealing with, folks. That was Obama's buddy. Bill Ayers was the head of the Weather Underground, and that's it's no joke when you say they would kill you if they could. And Frank was a prophet. Prophets without honor.
Yes. Let's go to Johan, who's calling from the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Welcome to The Right Perspective, Johan.
Hi, Johan. Thanks for joining us.
At this late hour for you,
yeah.
Or early hour.
Hi, John. Hi, Frank. How are you guys?
Ah, good.
Good to hear from you.
Gegrandet.
Baie gedankie.
Ah, goeiemorgen, meneer.
Goeiemorgen, dag.
What's on your mind?
Yes, guys, I think, first of all, I have to say it was a bit of a disappointment. I was watching the election proceedings here in the early hours of the morning.
Yes.
And I think I couldn't believe what I saw, but I don't think there's anything we can do about that now, I suppose.
No, and I think it might even get worse if they get two more Senate seats. So We've got to do our, what we can to win those other two Senate seats so the Republicans have some kind of a buffer in the Senate, at least the Senate. The Congress is, forget it. But, you know, Johan, I was very proud of your prime minister, even though he's a socialist. He called for the industrialized nations to get together and have a massive tax cut among them to get the world economy back on track. Now, isn't it amazing how socialists suddenly want to become conservatives and Republicans, comparing them to Republicans here in the United States, they all suddenly wake up and realize what really works when it hits the fan. They want to become one of us and start preaching our philosophy of tax cuts that create wealth and jobs. So it just means that they're always lying to themselves when they want to raise taxes just to control your life. But you know, when it looks so bad, then they try to adopt our policies. And why doesn't anyone bring this out and throw it right back in their face and say, you hypocrites, you call for tax increases most of the time when things are going well. But when things are not going well, then you all want to adopt the conservative political philosophy. But at least he did it. Whether anyone is listening, I don't know.
Yes, that's actually very true, what you're saying about the political philosophies. And I have to say, if you look at it in general, the support for Labour in the UK currently isn't that great. Although, if you look back at the last 10 years, I suppose where Gordon Brown has in actual fact been the Chancellor of the Exchequer, which is basically the equivalent of the Finance Minister in other countries, I suppose. I mean, he's done exceptionally well. You know, if you look at growth over this.
Hold it right there, Johan, because we're going to end this hour. Just hold it there. We'll get right back to Johan, who's calling us live from the United Kingdom. And we're going to have Barry Farber on in the next hour. And your calls is 718-761-9996. Please remember the right perspective to keep us here. Help us stay here on WWCR. And go now to TalkStream Live and look up the right perspective. And you can hear us now on Shoutcast 100% better. John?
All right. We'll end this portion of the show with a quote from a great president, Theodore Roosevelt, who said, I think there is only one quality worse than hardness of heart, and that is softness of head.
Thank you!
Now, another hour of news, opinion, passion. It's the right perspective.
And we are back. This is the right perspective. Your calls at 718-761-9996. 718-761-9996. We'll go back to Johan, calling from the United Kingdom of Great Britain. Let me ask you something, Johan.
Yes.
Now, you left South Africa, and you're in Great Britain. Do you see a parallel between the sick and truly tribal mentality of people throughout the world who are treating Obama as somehow he's this, you know, this messiah? To me, it seems the same tribal mentality that you have in darkest Africa.
Frank, it's exactly that, and that is what concerns me most about this election. I mean, my son is now 18 years old, and the reason for me leaving South Africa, he was around 11 years old when we left. And it was just that I didn't see any future for him there, you know, due to affirmative action and black economic empowerment. We could see 10 years ago already that the country was going downhill. I mean, crime was already rampant then. And if you look at the mainstream media all over the world, Mandela is today revered as you say, some kind of messiah. The fact of the matter is that this guy was still involved in what I regard a communist political party. He was responsible for several bomb explosions throughout South Africa, killing civilians. Now, to my mind, a person responsible for that is a terrorist, not a messiah. And it seems to me that if you listen and you watch the media today, I don't know a lot of Obama's history, but it seems that this man can almost do nothing wrong.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, I realized the other day that I now live in a parallel world. I watch the words that I use, because the words that I use are words, by using them, I'm giving legitimacy to the left. For example, I never use the term capitalism. I only use the term free enterprise. That's a Marxist term. Karl Marx sat on his fat ass in the Library of London, never worked a day in his life, and created the word capitalism. So when you use the word economic empowerment, now it's not black economic empowerment, it's really black theft of what the Boer folk built in South Africa.
Well, it's absolutely that, Frank. I mean, I've got no quibble with people of other nationalities and other races. And I think anybody with a little bit of common sense will agree that there were obviously some issues under apartheid that wasn't appropriate and that needed to be resolved. But in reality, if you look at towards the end of the 80s, most of the legislation that formed the so-called apartheid government were abolished. You know, there were no such thing anymore as exclusivity towards certain races. You know, in schools, in universities, or anything like that. And if you look at what black economic empowerment achieved, it was only the select few with government connections and family members in government that got decent jobs in companies. Black economic empowerment has never benefited people on grassroots level.
Well, Johan, I hate to cut you off, but we have our guests. We're going to have to go. What we have to say here is always what I say. South Africa's present is our future. Unfortunately, it looks like the future is now. Kom asseblief vir, meneer. Tot ziens. Ekkie tekkie, baie groenie.
And if you want to call us back after our guest, Johan, you're quite welcome. And glad that you took the time out to call all the way from the United Kingdom, whom I have as much hope for as I have for the United States, because political correctness is rearing its ugly head around the globe. You talk about globalization, it's only globalization for political correctness. And good night, yes. Jan. We'll talk to you in a little while.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Storm, I'm going to let you go just for a couple of minutes, because we have our guest.
And our guest now is talk radio legend Barry Farber. And he's here on The Right Perspective with us. Welcome to The Right Perspective, Barry.
Hey, Barry.
Hey, I feel like a war criminal interrupting this conversation. I'll tell you why. We hear news from all parts of the planet except South Africa. You are the only news source from South Africa. And you can take a bow, but I'm sure you're not going to be happy, even though you have the right to be proud. Why is our media not telling us what's going on in South Africa?
Well, for the simple reason, because they sold us a bill of goods about South Africa back in the 1980s. They lied about the Boer folk. You know, Barry, we've done something on this program that no one else in the world has done. We've covered the Boer-Cuban War in Angola, when a nation of 4.5 million stood up to the might of the Bolshevik experiment in the Soviet entity, took on 50,000 Cuban imperialist lackeys and running dogs of the Moscow warmongers, when they even took on Russian troops in Angola and beat their tails bloody. And no one knows about that war. That country made a sacrifice to stop the Cubans in Angola at the behest of the United States of America. And to my shame, and I always apologize to my Boer friends, that we stabbed that nation in the back. You know, Barry, we would have just waited 10 years. They could have solved their problem themselves. And as I said many times, there was a Jewish stake in South Africa, because what's happened to them is going to happen to Israel. In fact, it's happening now. You see it. But people don't, the media does not want to admit what's going on over there, because if they do, they'll have to admit that they were wrong and they lied to the American people and took us for a ride and put a bunch of communists in power. Do you realize in 1989, Barry, communism fell, and in 1994, we turned over a prosperous, thriving, modern nation to communists. What was more insane than that?
Well, the tragedy is that Americans don't know that. All they know is that Nelson Mandela was a hero freedom fighter, and South Africa is no longer an apartheid, Nazi-type state, and everything is fine. That's all we know in America as I sit here right now. That's all we know from our media.
You know why? In fact, you know, that was, you know, you brought up, they said it was a Nazi-like state. You look at that movie with Mel Gibson and Danny Glover, where they play the two cops. Well, what's the name of that movie again, where they play the two cops in L.A.?
Oh, yeah.
What's that? Where he's suicidal?
Yeah, there was three or four versions.
And in that movie, who's the villain? The villain is the South African consulate, the South African diplomat. Meanwhile, half of the world, was occupied by the communists. But a little nation of 4.5 million people was the greatest threat to humanity. Apartheid was the greatest threat to humanity when half of the world chafed under the yoke and shackle of communist genocide. That's the kind of lies and left-wing propaganda that they spewed out about that country. That was nonsense. In 1975, 3 million Cambodians were being exterminated, but they were marching nobly against apartheid. No, yeah. It's a lie. It's a fraud. It's a sham.
Yeah,
people don't even, let me finish this. People don't even know how much the Boers had given to the blacks over there. They didn't hate them. They never hated them. And why was South Africa, why were the Boers pro-German? Because the British exterminated 33,000 Boer women and children in the world's first concentration camps. So they were pro-German, just like the great General Mannerheim. Doesn't mean they were Nazis. They were siding with the people who were fighting against their enemy. And the look, Barry, the American people know about us. The only history the American people know is what Britney Spears did last week.
wait, help me out here. Help me out. I know that in Namibia, in Windhoek, there is a street named Hermann Göringstrasse,
right,
which is named not after Hitler's notorious Luftwaffe chief, but rather after his father, who was the German colonial general of Southwest Africa when it was under German command before World War One. That's the South Africa that I'm pointing to right now. From that South Africa up to now, we know almost nothing, and I'm very curious to know how you managed to bridge the gap between Nelson Mandela and the reality of today. Do Americans get the truth about what you know better than any other medium in the world?
No, they don't, because, first of all, you know, we're in contact with quite a few people over there. We interviewed General Magnus Malan, who led the Boer army against the Cubans in Angola. We interviewed Mayor Helen Zila of Kapstadt, which we call Cape Town. We've been in touch with many of these people. And, you know, once we made our original contact, we were able to because these people have no one to talk to them. You know, look, this fellow Johan we just spoke to is a Boer expatriate living in the United Kingdom. We've spoken to Boers that are living in Australia and New Zealand we're in contact with. They've been driven out of their country. It's a tragedy, well, a tragedy of money.
Straighten me out, Frank. Mm-hmm. Straighten me out, because I need education here. During World War II, I remember Jan Christian Smuts was the leader of South Africa. Now, they were on Britain's side, not Germany's side, right?
Yeah, but you see, Jan Smuts was considered a traitor by the Boers.
In other words, they thought, the Boers thought he should be pro-Nazi.
Well, no, they just thought he shouldn't be. He gave in to the British. He fought against the British in the Boer War, but then he became pro-British. He became a tool of the British. I mean, it was a British colony. Well, it was a colony. It was, you know, that was two countries. That was Transvaal, Republic of Transvaal, and the Orange Free State, and their land was literally stolen from them by the British when gold and diamonds were discovered over there. They came in, they murdered them, they put their women and children in concentration camps, they burned their farms down, they starved them. I mean, they couldn't beat their army in the field. The mighty British Empire couldn't beat a bunch of ragtag commando farmers who went out and defeated them. And so, of course, they were pro-German, just as the Irish were pro-German. Though they were neutral, they were still pro-German because of the British genocide that happened in Ireland with the Great Famine. So, of course, they were. But Jan Smuts was basically, he was a tool or a toady of the British. He was not, by the bitter end, he's not called the great hero of the Boer people. But they fought on the side of the British, just as there were Irish from America whose family were persecuted by the British, fought for the United States against the Germans in World War II.
All right. Well, you can console yourself that the big joke in Havana.
Yes.
You've talked about the 50,000 communist Cuban troops fighting on that continent.
Mm-hmm.
You can console yourself that while they were doing that, the big joke in Havana was as follows. One Cuban would ask another, what's the largest country in the world? And the answer was Cuba. The territories in the Caribbean, the governments in Moscow,
right.
The armies in Africa, and the populations in Miami, Tampa, and Jersey City.
But, Barry, if you want to find out, you go to our website, therightperspective.com. I know you go to the website. Look up the link for Hello Africa, and you'll find the interviews that we've done. They've been archived, and you'll hear firsthand what's going straight from the horse's mouth. I mean, this is not some newsman reporting for 30 seconds on the news. These are from the Boer folk who are living over there. These are the people who are enduring the horrible, horrible crime that's going on over there, the mismanagement of government that's going on. It's sad. When you think how that nation was stabbed in the back by the West and how you took those people who had a unique culture, a unique language, a unique history, who never did anything to anybody. They never hijacked any United States airliner, never killed or kidnapped any American citizen like the Mohammedanite terrorists. They never did anything to us. All they said was, like the Israelis, just let us be by ourselves. We'll work our problems out. They were there for 350 years. They're more African than Jesse Jackson or this foreign occupier who's going to take power in the White House. They are true Africans. They're a white tribe, and they built a magnificent nation out of nothing. And yet these people were vilified. You got to listen to our interviews. You'll find out what's really, really going on over there.
Well, tell me, where did you learn how to speak Afrikaans?
Because my Boer friend, we have a friend of ours who's a listener in Canada. He sent me an Afrikaans tape, and speaking with the Boers that I got to know. They teach me a little Afrikaans here and there.
Well, I don't want to turn this into a musical.
No.
But before I leave, do you mind if I sing my favorite song in the world, which yes. happens to be a Boer song?
Yes.
It's an Afrikaans song. Are you allowed to sing on this broadcast?
Be our guest, Barry. You can do anything.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Men sari mare is so fair van mijn hart, mare hoop haar weer te zien. Ze woont in de week bij de voeten weer gewoon, na voor dit oorlog het begin. Oh, breng mij terug naar de oude Transvaal, daar waar mijn sari woont, tam, 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 tam. Daaronder in de milies bij de gewone Doringbaum, ja, daar woont mijn sari mare. Daaronder in de milies bij de gewone Doringbaum, ja, daar woont mijn sari mare. South African Boers have the best folk music in the world.
Oh, yeah. We have a whole album. I have albums of folk music. For example, The Lady Roberts, it was a gun that was captured. It was a big cannon that was captured during the Boer War by General Benfil Yoon, and they took it from, they went behind the British lines, stole this cannon from the British, and turned it on them. We have a whole, Barry, their history is so fascinating, and they were just demonized in the media. That's why the media is so demonized, Barry, dangerous, because they can demonize anybody. They can demonize any group of people. And people see what they think is real on TV, and that's it, and they believe it.
Well, Barry, you know, I only have one thing to say after that performance of yours.
Yes.
You won that round. Okay, let's go on. Yeah, you won that one.
Barry, you got to tell our listeners when you're on the radio so they can tune into talk radio legend, yeah. Barry Farber.
People have to know that. I don't know how this squares with Greenwich Mean Time, but we're on the air from 8 to 10, Monday through Friday, on CRN Digital Talk Radio, and I'll give the website twice that wherever you are in the world tells you how to get connected. It's www.crntalk.com. Once more slowly, www.crntalk.com. And right. Thank you very much. I'm so proud of both of you. I knew you, tell your listeners, I knew you when.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Frank. Hey, Frank.
Barry,
you remember this?
You know, you are like a dog I'm very fond of, but who keeps getting loose and biting mailmen.
Wait, I can hardly hear that. Tell me about it.
This is what, when I would make some controversial remarks when I called you up, this is what you would tell me.
You know, you are like a dog, a dog I'm very fond of, but who keeps getting loose and biting mailmen.
So,
John, I remember having some problems with you and with Frank.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't agree on 100% of everything, but I admire you and I admire what you're doing. And the only thing is, I wonder if you ever really got in touch with Ethelyn to talk to her about her experience at the Bell Laboratory.
Yes. I don't know, but this is what you told her one time.
Darling, you got too much sand in your gizzard. Clean it out and call me.
You know, Ethelyn was so excited about the election of Barack Hussein Obama that she went out election night and she cleaned 50 floors.
How do you remember that? I never forget. I had John on the show one night, and Ethelyn was telling me about her experience at the Bell Labs,
yeah.
And John exploded. I don't care about your experience yeah. at the Bell Labs.
Well, you know, Barry, we have all of those calls on audio tape, and I'm in the process now of making separate files to them for them and cleaning them up in my program, digitally enhancing all those calls. We've got 126 volumes of the best of John and Frank, all the phone calls that we made over the years to talk radio.
I want to be the first customer of that album because I was on the radio as a talk host in New York while you all were calling people like me and making those calls.
Yeah, well, we're going to put them on DVD. They'll all fit on, I think, one DVD, and you can have all 126 volumes, and I have them all listed, what their calls are all about for each volume. So that's,
You know, Barry, when the type of talk radio that you do and that John and I remember from all the times that we called you, it's a much more civilized, it's a much more relaxing, and it's a much more intellectually stimulating type of program. And today, there are people in talk radio that are syndicated that all they have to do is read either the Democrat or Republican talking points. The calls last 10, 30 seconds. It's nothing that really feeds a person's intellect.
Well, hey, Barry, as a matter of fact, speaking to that, I want you to listen to this for about a minute. This is what you used to get. This is what you get on talk radio today compared to what you hear on The Right Perspective. I mean, we talk to people for 5-6 minutes, and this is what you get today on radio, okay?
Got to run.
I'm out of time right now.
All right, you've only got about 40 seconds.
Hey, John, you got about 40 seconds.
John, you got about 10 seconds.
Very quickly, a minute.
You've only got about a minute.
Mark in Pennsylvania, less than 30 seconds. Mark, go. Got to take a quick break.
I got to let you go, because I'm going to get some other calls.
Thank you. Our time's up.
John, 30 seconds, quick.
I just have to tell you, we've only got about a half a minute.
Okay, I got 30 seconds, so get right to it.
Frank, you don't have all that much time. John, you really don't have nearly as much time as you wish you did. Hurry up, I got to take a break.
Let me answer your question. There's short time.
Hurry up.
John, I don't have enough time.
All right, John, we don't have much time. You better hurry up.
Okay, I don't have a lot of time.
You got 5 seconds.
That's what you get in talk radio today.
Powerful.
And that's why we get. That's why we got our own show and built our own studio. So.
Yes, got our own
studio. That is powerful, and I'm so proud of you, what you've done.
Well, thanks
you
a lot,
didn't
Barry.
You like what was going on, and you built an alternative universe, and I'm very proud of
thank you.
And I thank
well,
you
know,
very
you,
much
you encouraged us. You
I wanted to share a little bit of it.
You got us in.
And we want to have you down one night.
Yeah.
We'll pick you up by car and bring you down and home.
And we'll,
you
we'll
don't
have, a,
have to do that.
We'll have a gefilte fish ready for you.
I'd be very proud to make my way down. But tell me,
yes.
What is, before I let you go, if I'm not taking too much of
your
time.
No, take all your time you want.
What is your attitude now towards the next 4 years in American politics?
Very depressed.
Very depressed.
Very depressed, very scared.
Yeah.
We've got, first of all, the Democrat Party, Barry, is the new Nazi Party. This is not the Democrats of Adlai Stevenson III. Hubert Humphrey, John F. Kennedy,
Scoop Jackson.
This is the new American Communist Party, and you've got the perfect storm of insane Marxist, communist, and socialist coming together with the guy at the top actually being a communist. Isn't it amazing, Barry, we spent 50 years defeating communism, and the dumbed-down American people, because the left got control of the school system, have turned all of our kids into morons, and they really don't even know how the economy works or how our system works. They don't know anything about the Constitution of the United States. We now bring communism back with our first president, the first communist. Well, actually, Bill Clinton, as far as I'm concerned, was a communist as well, and so was Jimmy Carter, especially when you hear him today. But this guy is a full-blown Bolshevik. And we are in deep trouble. And especially, it's amazing how, you know, everybody's asking, what do the Republicans have to do to get back into power? What do they have to do to get back into office and turn things around? Well, what they have to do is start blaming the party that got us in this problem in the first place. Not once did you hear on the campaign trail that the Democrats caused this whole economic meltdown. You saw all those audios and the videos of the Democrats defending Fannie and Freddie Mae, while George Bush and John McCain were two of the people who warned against it, and it was all Republicans saying, we've got a problem here, and yet George Bush, just because he's in the White House, took all the blame for this. The Republicans allowed themselves to take the blame for Katrina. That whole state has been controlled by Democrats for 40 years. They had a Democrat governor, a Democrat big-time senator. Ray Nagin is the Democrat mayor there, you know, Mr. Chocolate City. They used all the funds that were supposed to go to rebuilding the barriers down there. They use them for social programs. And then they blame it on the President of the United States just because we have a Republican in the White House and the Republicans say and do nothing. They need an instant response team, and they need someone with their ear to the ground. For instance, Barry, I'll give you one example. I don't mean to hold you up.
I'm interested.
You know how the whole campaign was based on George Bush's tax cut, or one of the things they kept bringing up? George Bush's tax cuts were for the wealthy only, which there would be nothing wrong with. Well, a report came out this week that the income for Americans making anywhere from $15,000 up to $100,000 increased in droves from $15,000 to $30,000. I think it went up something like 8%. From $30,000 to $50,000, it went up some like 10%. From 50,000 to 75, it went up another 10 or 15%. And from $75,000 up to $100,000 in income, it increased by something like 18%. These are all middle-class paid. You know, it's the quintile, the middle-class quintile. And yet, that proves that the tax cuts from George Bush were not just for wealthy people. They benefited everyone. And yet the Republicans have not said a damn thing about this. I heard about it one time, and that was it. The Republicans need someone to get out there and call news conferences to refute the lies when the truth comes out and expose the Democrats for the liars they are. They're so incompetent and so politically tone deaf, it makes you commode-hugging sick.
Well, I love that term, and I hope you will tell your listeners what memo you wrote by email to Neil Cavuto of the Fox Channel, which I thought was on your side and on our side.
Yeah, it's amazing that he fell into that trap, trying to put some of the blame for this fiasco on the Republicans. And I was really surprised because normally he's sticking up for Republicans. But he's, you know, I got a feeling that they're trying to protect themselves.
They are.
Because Obama's coming after Fox News.
Yes.
So now Bill O'Reilly,
yeah,
who was that fraud, and now Neil Cavuto's joined the crowd. Oh, see, he criticizes Republicans, too. He's good enough to stay on the air. They're all looking to save their careers,
yes,
instead of telling the truth. This was not a Republican problem. This was strictly Democrats. And what was the other problem that's caused us problems over the last 6 months, Barry? The high price of gas and fuel. Well, the Democrats have caused all of this. They're the ones who won't allow us.
You don't have to be.
Barry, can you hold on for about 2 seconds?
Yeah.
Well, at least a minute anyway. We'll get right back to you, and then we'll let you go.
I just need your body, baby. I'm just too gone. You don't need experience to turn me out. You I'll show you what it's all about. You don't have to be a...
We're taking your phone call. So if you've got questions or comments, then be heard on The Right Perspective.
The Right Perspective.
From across the USA and the rest of North America.
Okay, let me get this straight. I buy I-bonds, say, $1 million worth.
You can buy up to $30,000 a year.
Yeah, right. So I buy I-bonds, and my money will always earn a rate higher than inflation?
That's right.
For 1,000 years?
For 30 years. It's guaranteed to stay ahead of inflation for 30 years.
And it's safe, backed by the U.S. Treasury?
That's correct.
World comes to an end, no problem, still safe.
I'm not even going to answer
that. Right. So getting back to the inflation thing. Inflation goes up to, say, 10%, I'm covered?
You're covered. Your investment will continue to earn a rate over and above inflation for up to 30 years.
20%?
You're covered.
3,000%.
Oh, come on.
Hey, I'm joking. So tell me, where can I get these things and I'm out of here?
Gladly. You can purchase I-bonds where you work, bank, or through the new U.S. Savings Bonds Easy Saver Plan. To learn all about I-bonds, go to www.savingsbonds.gov.
www.savingsbonds.gov. Huh, pretty catchy, huh?
Goodbye.
But I'm not even finished.
Goodbye.
A public service announcement by the Department of Treasury and the station.
Yeah, right.
Would you take from Moses all that I have given him? Would you undo all that I have done for him? I have put the throne of Egypt within his reach. What can you give him in its place?
John from Staten Island and Frank from Queens.
Not, not, no tailor else, no tailor else.
All right, that's the great Duran Duran. Great song, and we have a great friend of ours on the line, the great Barry Farber.
Talk radio legend. You know, Barry, before John just finished, I want to say that, you know, you because of you, I got back into stamp collecting. You used to do a commercial for H.E. Harris, and the commercial was so good that the way you did it that I started collecting again, and I haven't stopped since then.
How do you remember that?
We remember everything, Barry.
We remember everything.
You've been around talk radio. You know, we have a whole history on our tape, so, you know, we remember all this stuff.
Sure. But, you know, you got to do us a favor. When you know, Sean Hannity loves our program. He listens to The Right Perspective all the time.
Yes.
You know, and I know Sean's a good friend of yours. When you see him, just tell him that John and Frank would love to call him, but we don't have time. The time, we're just too busy with our own program. I know Sean listens, he loves the program, but then he's always saying, why don't these guys call me, but we just don't have the time to. So when you see Sean, tell him it's not personal, we have nothing against him.
I will do that, and by the way, I really loved the fact that you two came up from the ranks, you know. Not many generals began as privates in the army, but you all did. You came up as callers to talk radio, and now we're proud to be calling you.
Well, thank you, Barry.
Well, you know, you're one of the few people who don't have this big ego. You know, there's a lot of hosts out there, we should call them, you know. But you've always been a friend, and we thank you. For all those years you had us on the show, and you really helped us, and you encouraged us. You know, you gave us that bug to get involved in talk radio.
Look, I had you both. Hey, okay. Look, let me take pride in this. I had you both on the air before you started this magnificent international adventure, which is helping so many people understand so many vital issues that they wouldn't be informed on in any other medium.
Yeah.
I'm real proud of you two, and thank you very much for letting me. Yeah. I hope you'll forgive me for singing.
That's a classic.
Hey, don't
have your secretary type it, and I'll sign it.
Thank you.
Good night,
right, Barry.
And Barry, may your tribe increase. And I know it has your grandfather.
I return the compliment in manifold dimensions. Good things.
Thank you very much, Barry. We'll be in touch.
Good night.
Thanks, Barry.
God bless you, Barry.
And stay healthy.
Good night. You too.
Bye-bye. And that was an exclusive here on the Right Perspective. Got a lot of good sound bites now from this, John.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why we really hope you'll help.
I think it's a treasure trove.
Yeah, and that's why we hope you'll help the Right Perspective, because you know what, folks? You ain't going to hear this any other place. Nobody's going to do this. Nobody's going to call from Great Britain to any of these other talk shows. The way, you know, and this guy's a boor that called Johan from United Kingdom. He's a boor. They're boors. It's a diaspora. They're being driven out of their own country. And he called in. You never hear Barry on any
of we forgot to play the stem.
Oh, all right. But that's okay.
Can't do everything.
But see, Barry is, that's the difference between him and some of these other people, you know, that, you know what it is, too? At his age and the time he's been in it, John, he's so sure of himself now. At this point, he doesn't have to have an ego and feel he's being displaced. You know, I was talking to the news guy, and the news guy brought up something really important. And I got to say this about the news guy. You know, when John and I did this show with Hal, Hal's, you know, a guilt by association when it comes to the foreign occupier. What do they say? Guilt by association doesn't work. Well, don't guilt by association, because we did a show with Hal. When we knew Hal, he was there was nothing what he became. That's his business. And he's a guy that rolls his sleeves up, but he has one problem, and John hit it on the head when we brought, Hal is not a team player. So the best thing for him was to do his own program.
And the very fact that we're not with him any longer says a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, the guilt by association nonsense doesn't work.
Right.
Otherwise, we'd still be with him.
Right. But, you know, he's Hal is a lone wolf. He does very well for himself. He, you know, and that's how he is. But the news guy is a team player, that he got the time in, you know, he told us about Shoutcast, you know, worked with John on this. That's a team player. That's what you need. And that's why the show is prospering and the show is going forward, because we have a team effort here to work together. A guy like Barry, he's so sure and confident at this point in his life that he doesn't have to. And the news guy said to me tonight, he called me before the show, he said, these people, and he's 100% right, they try to sell themselves. They're all selling themselves. This moron in San Francisco, psychological nudity, he's selling himself. I wrote 25 books. I have two PhDs. I'm a genius. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. He's selling himself. Do you really want to? Barry never sold himself. He never talked about himself. Do you know that Barry, people thought he worked for the CIA. What happened is he went to Eastern Europe, and when he came back, he was debriefed by the CIA, which at that time, and I regret I didn't talk to him about it, maybe when we have him on again. When you came back from Europe at that time, Eastern Europe, they would debrief you because he had been in Russia. And, you know, the CIA. Now, the whole thing is, why did they debrief Barry Farber? But when Lee Harvey Oswald came back, he was not debriefed. And he was a Marine who defected, and they never debriefed him. So if you want to think that there was something fishy going on, there was. But Barry never sold himself. He never Bob Grant was a guy that never sold himself either. He was very private about his life. But the rest of these schmucks, they all sell themselves. They're all telling you about themselves. Do you really care about Mike Savage growing up in the Bronx? Do you really care about that? Do you really care about some Gavone that he knew, or some of that stupid stories of his? They're all selling themselves. They all have a terrible ego problem. But Barry Farber showed you tonight, Barry doesn't have that problem, that he was nice enough to come on, do the show with us, compliment us. That's a real mensch.
Yeah, and
718-761-9996, 718-761-9996.
And we're going to get to Storm. We have a call. But, you know, Hillary is now being considered as Secretary of State.
Imagine this.
Yeah, now that's to get the Clintons off Obama's back, of course. Well, that's great. With Bill in the background.
Right.
We're going to have the same type of foreign policy that we had in the Clinton era, which, by the way, was absolutely horrible. Caspar Weinberger, former Secretary of Defense, said, quote, Clinton gave us, I'm afraid, about as poor a foreign policy and poor administration as I hope we'll never see again. His foreign policy was basically to get reelected. That took precedence over everything else, and that's so true. And that now you're going to have Hillary, who left they left a mess behind in North Korea that George Bush had to deal with, trusting communists to keep their word about not developing nuclear energy weapons. He tried to sell out Israel for his legacy. He left a mess behind in Haiti, reinstalling Aristide, a socialist. He left a mess in Bosnia. The guy was a disaster, folks. Horrible in foreign policy. But these things are never brought up. They're never mentioned. But we'll mention them here on the show. And now Hillary is going to be the Secretary of State.
Nah, I don't think
so. Oh, yeah. All those Arab countries are going to really respect our foreign policy, having to take orders from a woman.
Okay. We got another call. Let's go to Storm. And welcome Hello. To the Right Perspective, Storm. Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, you're making all the stuff about Hillary and this and that. This country's in deeper S than you think.
Oh, sure.
Because it looks like to me like what they you better be ready for the fourth. You better be ready for the fourth, because this is going to be the rise of the fourth. FOURTH, the Fourth Reich.
Yep.
Because that's what you're going to get.
These are Bolsheviks.
Yeah.
My apology to the Fourth Reich. These are Bolsheviks.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's true, but Hitler wasn't much better. But
right.
No, it really looks like you know. See, the thing of it is, put it this way. Think of it this way. If I'm CFR, and I'm these guys that want to have one world government, and I control both parties, which they did have control of from the 60s or 70s on, and that was even part of their plan. It's a book called Naked Communist by FBI guy named Skulson or something. One of the blankets in there is that. Now, I confused that with the Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx. They're different. This is something, a book called The Naked Communist that has, Naked Communist has about, I think, 44 blankets as a part of the congressional records. But anyway, to cut to the chase, what better way, it looked like Bush was trying to set up a dictatorship, but what better way to have it than have it under, since you control both parties, than have it under Democrat? Because, see, the word Democrat would mean democratic, so that would be, you know, it would be conflicting. People would create the mirage that it's democratic.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, George Bush setting up a dictatorship. I don't get that. But
oh, no, when he did he passed the Patriot Act. I mean,
that's all right. That's not a dictatorship. That was to protect the United States.
Yeah, no, not really, because, yeah, the border's wide open, and the Patriot Act, that was something that Bill Clinton wanted to pass way back when he did that thing with...
Patriot Act helped catch or prevent a lot of destruction in this country. Yeah, you know, the left, when they oppose somebody, will say...
Yeah, but they violated people's gun rights.
No, they didn't.
Oh, no, it did. Did you read did you actually read the whole Patriot Act, by the way?
Did
the
you?
Whole thing?
Did you?
Oh, well, if
I don't know. Let me tell you something. If he was violating people's gun rights, you would have seen the NRA speaking out against him. Instead, they all voted to reelect him.
No, well, see, they control the NRA. The one that's pro-Second Amendment is Gun Owners of America. But, see, that was something saying that Hillary and Bill were trying to get off the ground for, like, when they were in power. And both parties went for it, but even cut to the chase, what you got now is you got a Congress and a Senate, and then you have this guy who was born in Kenya, then you have Hillary as Secretary of State. You're going to have a one-party, one-rule.
Yeah, well, we know that, and that's what we're trying to prevent, and that's why it's important to win that Senate seat in Minnesota.
Oh, that's still going on. It hasn't been decided
yet. It's still going
yet.
On. They're going to have a recount starting on the 17th.
Uh-huh.
And the person doing the recount was actually once employed and associated with Acorn. And it's all Democrats
Uh-oh.
Out there.
Yeah, that's not
yeah.
good.
So
yeah, I know about Acorn.
Now, if that happens, by the way, it'll be the second time that the Senate seat was stolen out in Minnesota. They did the same thing to the same fella the first time around in 2000 when he was winning, and all of a sudden the Democrats brought in something like, 5,000 of these Indians off the reservation who really had no business voting and pulled the election out for the Democrats.
Oh, boy.
And the Republicans did nothing about it then.
Yeah, so. Because, see, I really believe that on the top, both those parties are the same thing. I really do believe that they're run by the CFR. They are run by the CFR. I looked them up. I have the books on the CFR, members of both of the people and running both parties. And the thing of it is that, now here's the thing. I you didn't get Philip Berg on. I'm sorry you didn't, or maybe you were gone while I left. He was on George Norrie, thank goodness, and he was on another show. He's on Bill Cunningham. Even though I agree with everything Bill Cunningham says, but some stuff I do agree with him with, some stuff I don't. He was on Bill Cunningham. He comes on Sunday nights, every Sunday night. He'll be on this
Sunday
night.
Yeah, I think I heard him, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. Because actually I was going to call him up and pitch your show because they keep talking to stuff with Philip Berg. But the first time, and I have to say this right on your show, the first time I ever heard of Philip Berg was on Shortwave. It was, I think, on one of the show and your guys' show. And then, after that, then he was on Michael Savage. And that was like about a month or so later. Much later. And he hasn't been on any of the shows other than Michael Savage, and then George Norrie let him on, and even George Norrie is asking some serious questions. Now, cut to the chase. I'm going to cut this short so I could, get going what I'm going to say. The status is now that the Supreme Court wants Obama, and he's going to have to answer by December 1st or December 2nd with this birth certificate thing. That's what's coming down now. He does have to, going to try to see, and according to Philip Berg, that he's going to have to answer it. Now, here's the thing. If that happens, and I do believe he was born in Kenya, I think Philip Berg is telling the truth. Even though I don't have the web, and also something else came out from African News. I think Robert Chapman mentioned that somebody took the, whatever they call in Islam, I don't know what they call it in Islam, but an imam, what they call a baptism in Islam.
A beheading.
Right, okay. The person, there was somebody in Kenya took those records, and they flew to England and is seeking asylum. And they're trying to, this person's trying to bring this out to the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that this guy wasn't born here. Now, if that happens, he's going to have to be pulled from office.
Yeah.
Because Arnold Schwarzenegger, not that I'm, what Arnold Schwarzenegger's tied in with Rothschild and all that later on. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, let's not get too convoluted. And you had a Republican governor in Hawaii who hid away Barack Obama's birth certificate.
That's right.
And
that's what
you
I was
know
telling
what?
People on the chat
yeah,
line.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't see the Republicans going after her and trying to take any chairmanship away from her or trying to tell her to get out of the party like they're doing to Joe Lieberman because he went with his conscience in this last election. And that's the difference between Republicans
I don't like Lieberman.
And Democrats.
I mean, he's not doing,
no, but the thing is... He's supporting.
He's not even.
You're not,
not
listening.
Really
you're not listening. He's support.
Okay.
Try listening first. He supported John McCain, so the Democrats want to take his chairmanship away from him.
Oh, he did. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then this Republican governor does something that could possibly hurt the Republicans, and you don't see the Republicans telling her to step down. So there are a lot of differences between the parties.
No, I think that Republican governor out there in Hawaii is tied in with Obama.
Yeah, she's probably a rhino.
Well, she's tied in with something, whoever she is. Yeah, I do know that because Savage mentioned that. But I believe, wasn't it mentioned on your show first? Because, like I said, the first time I heard Berg was on your show. He didn't go into Savage until about a good, I think,
yeah.
4, 5, 6 weeks later.
Well, thanks to the news guy's great work. And you see, I think he came on the show first.
No, he was on your show before Savage. I know
that's
that
what I'm
because
saying, yeah.
I remember the first time I heard it. Matter of fact, the first time I heard about the other gentleman with the BJ and the limousine, not that I care one way or the other about that, but I mean, that came out and you had that on the show, and you went in depth with the gentleman that he, and actually that had to be true because the guy actually, filed on the sworn of what? He filed something in court?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the perjury, right.
Anything else, Storm?
Yeah.
Anything else?
First time I heard that was on your show. But then after that, I think about four weeks after, then you had Mr. Berg on. It was long and it's in depth. And then it wasn't until weeks after, and I had to be a good month, that I heard him on Savage.
Yeah, well.
And there was other people in New York heard that too, and this was like a court election. Apparently, it's too late. But here's the thing: this is really serious. He's going to have to answer this. And if it's true that he is not a naturalized citizen, and I believe he's not, and they got this on tape and everything else, and this person is seeking asylum in England, it's going to be a mess, and he's going to have to be pulled.
No. Even if they find out, they wouldn't dare even bring it up.
No.
Are you kidding?
Well, he's going to have to answer the Supreme Court. They want it now. They want to know. Are you talking about Thomas and Scalia and all the others? No.
Well, that's why when a couple of people step down, he'll appoint a couple of ultra-left-wing scum.
And they'll cover for him. He's not going to take office until January.
Yeah.
They want this straight by December.
Yeah, like they're going to overturn the election for him, right? You'll have riots all over the country, and nobody will do anything about it. All right, Storm. We're going to move on.
Call again.
All right, okay, I'll let you go.
All right, thanks a lot, and take care.
Let's go to Don in Pennsylvania. Welcome, Don.
Gentlemen, hello.
Hi, Don.
You know, you were talking about Fox News being so kind to Obama. I can't remember where I read it, but I think, was it Rupert Murdoch that owns Fox?
Yeah.
Well, I think he came right out and said, you know, we have to take a different line. We have to be more kind. Toward Obama. So I think they have, it's not only them individually, like O'Reilly and this other guy you were talking about, but I think they're getting orders to do this.
Oh, yeah.
They're being ordered to do it. And as far as this sham election that we had, I tend to agree with Storm. I think this thing is a big fake. You know, I watched the debate. I don't know if you've seen the third-party debate. And no matter what you think of Ralph Nader or Chuck Baldwin, I watched those two guys debate. They were the ones that should have been running for president. They were the ones that should have been the main two guys running for that office.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen any of that debate.
Yes, it was an excellent debate. They really talked about the issues.
Substance. They talked about the Constitution. Chuck Baldwin, a lot of people would think that he's because he's a Christian, he would be bringing Christianity down people's throat. Wasn't the case from what I got from him. He wanted religious freedom for everyone.
Mm.
And, along those lines, a lot of times we don't touch on this. I'm not a real very religious person myself. I do consider myself a Christian. But has anyone noticed the attack, the outright attack now on Christianity in the past year or so?
Past year. It's been going on for 10 years.
No, but it's right out front now. It's right. You're seeing it on these mainstream shows. You see Bill Maher come out. You and your imaginary friend and all this stuff. And I'm thinking this is their way of if they take this away from us, the morality that was laid down in this country, that was put into the Constitution will be gone.
Well, that's the idea, Don, because is to get rid of religion. You know why the left hates religion? Because they don't think anything should be above them. They don't want people looking up to any higher power other than liberals.
Well, John McCain, I can't remember. I was ordering a pizza. I had the family over, and I went out to get some pizza, and it was noisy. But there was there was television on, and he made a statement once. He was comparing these, he said, the right-wing Christians, basically like they were as bad as Farrakhan. And this McCain, I really wonder about this guy. Frank talks about the trust.
Yeah.
I really believe there is a trust. There is something called the trust or something similar to that.
Remember Rosie O'Donnell saying that Christianity was no different than these Mohammedans when she was on The View.
And that's exactly what the communists did. They ran that out. They confused the people. They pulled that away from the people. They pulled the rug out from under them.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what they're doing now. And the boobs
don't understand what's going on.
No, no. They, you know, I was saying this to the news guy and to John this week, that you're familiar with Jim McGreevy, right?
Yes.
I got news for you. This Obama's another McGreevy.
Well,
this guy is on the down low, brother. He is on the down low. This guy is a faggot. If you watch, you saw that picture of him coming out of the gym with the T-shirt and the baseball cap. This guy is on the down low. And I guarantee you he's paying somebody to keep their mouth shut about it, or the guy may wind up face down in a river somewhere. But it will come out that he is the first, not only the first black president, not only the first biracial president, but the first bisexual president.
You know, it's funny you mention that, Frank, because, you know, a lot of times, like I said, I parrot things right back to you guys that I hear, and it's sometimes it's subliminal, you know, because you guys have a great way of, putting things together. But I said the same thing to someone in work because Bill Maher came out and he was praising Obama to the sky, and he was saying, look at this guy, like he's too perfect. We can't even make fun of him. He says he doesn't run around on his wife. He takes care of his kids. And I'm thinking, well, didn't Jim McGreevy have that image until it was uncovered?
That's right.
They kicked it right out from under him.
That's right.
And who knows what. And another thing, too, Obama, they'll make a useful idiot out of him. They'll throw him away when it's time.
Yeah.
They'll throw him right under the bus. Like this thing with his citizenship, this could have been done on purpose to rub our face in, to rub this in our face.
That's right. That's right. To let you know that you really have no power, and that basically the Constitution is just a piece of paper, that all you were taught in school about it and all you thought that you believed about it was just a lie.
Well, the dead white males, the Christianity, they're making, you know, you and you're praying through your imaginary friend, the dead white males, like this slob, Bill Maher, made the statement, if Jefferson seen this, he would be spinning in his slave, you know?
And sure.
You just feel like getting a hold of this guy's throat and just choking him.
Oh, him? He's a piece of pure crap. He is a piece of crap. That's what they put on TV.
And then you watch the double, like what they call double thing. You know, they had the view was on, and sometimes, like they say, you have to know your enemy. So you have to hold your nose and gag and watch this stuff just to see what they're saying. The whole time, Whoopi Goldberg, yes. I felt like I could finally put my bag down. I'm an American. Oh, yeah, it took me back to Martin Luther King. Oh, the great, it's our first black president. And then they talk about this for like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the next commercial break, they say, and you know what the big thing about this is? It had nothing to do with race, this election. They just got done talking 40 minutes about how it was the first black guy, and now they're saying, well, it really didn't have anything to do with race.
I know, right?
They talk about double speak or double think or whatever they want to call it.
It's like, of course, they talk about, the first black president, and just think, blacks built the White House. The White House was built by everything. Now you're going to have shoved in your face, you know.
Well,
but why aren't they talking about the fact that African Mohammedans were the slave traders? We're always hearing about how white people are. What about them? And he's not a descendant of slaves. He's a descendant of slave traders.
Well, and he was a descendant of slave traders. And not only that, slavery didn't start in the West, but it did end in the West.
Right.
It has ended. And this is it's over in the West, but in the East, it still goes on.
Oh, sure. Are you kidding me? It's part of African culture. People were
somewhere where they were selling parts of an albino child or something. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh yeah, it's insane. It's insane. They think it has some kind of magic, so they kill them and they hack up their bodies. Yeah, I read that in the Times a couple of months ago.
But you'll never see that on the main. You've seen in the Times. I was surprised that they put that in there.
Yeah, but you know what? You put it in the newspaper, it vanishes, a story like that. It's like, you know, an interest story, but it's not done where it's continually broadcast about you and they're all speaking about it and you're seeing images about it. It's just, you know, it's something there, somebody reads it, and that's it. It's not that it's drawn as an analogy of something. In other words, they're not saying, well, the real fact is that's how stupid, ignorant, and primitive they still are in the Dark Continent. And we told white people in South Africa that they were forced to live with this. You know what I'm saying? So that's how they do it.
Well, it's you wonder, when do you think, when do you think the boobs are going to wake up? What's going to happen here? I mean, there's going to be something has to snap people out of this.
Well, it'll be for a while because people are, they're in shock, and they have within it now in place the means to quiet people, to put fear in people. There's going to be some high-profile trials. For example, they're going to try to go after people in the Bush administration as war criminals. They want to shut down the media, scare people in the media from speaking out. Laws and that are going to be, all of this is going to be pushed in people's face until finally, you know, the American people, as I've said many times, have a very contrary streak to them. That's why when people were saying that Hillary Clinton was a lock, I said, don't think so. You know, don't bet on it. And sure enough, she went. And that's what's going to happen here, because they're going to start with this control of your life. The worst thing you can do to people is start to tell people what they can say, how they can put things. You know, oh, you're racist. You know, some black woman wrote to us, you know, I used to listen to WCR because I wanted to, quote, unquote, know the enemy. And you're a racist. And blah, blah. I wrote back. I said, look, you know, you could name call me, but I want you to talk about the issue. You haven't addressed any of the issues. And if you're going to call me a racist, well, I don't belong to an all-white church, but your president, the foreign occupier, does. He belongs to an all-black church. And I didn't vote against homosexual marriage, but the blacks in California are the ones that put that bill over the top. You've got to work on homophobia in your community. So,
well, you know what else, too? You and John often speak about how the Republicans don't fight back. And a lot of the traditional Republicans or any of the paleo-conservatives that are left in there, that's a Christian thing. You know, I went to a Catholic school, and they always talk about never scandalize someone. And I think it's almost the fact that they're just too decent, some of these guys, to scandalize people. And these lefties, these communists have no problem. As a matter of fact, it's a matter of course for them. This is how they operate. They scandalize, they blackmail, they belittle. That's their whole mode. That's their whole existence. That's how they operate. And I think that the Republicans fighting them fairly would be like the lining up like and marching straight ahead toward your enemy. And, you know, they can use all kind of hide behind trees and rocks and everything else. And this is what's going on.
Yeah, well, you had people, 96% of the people in this country who voted for a black man. They didn't care whether he was a communist, whether it would be bad for the nation. They didn't care that they were voting for the party that's caused all the problems we're having today. They cared about one thing. He was the same color as they were,
right?
So they think.
Yeah.
And these are the same people who say, who just gush over Martin Luther King's speech.
Yeah.
Judge one by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. So what do? You get 96% of people who turn around and vote for someone strictly because of the color of their skin. And if they're voting for him based on the content of his character, then that makes them communists too. So what are they going to say then?
Well, and not only that, if the content of the character, if the person's character is bad, They just blame it on someone else.
Well, that's it.
Because of
care.
Slavery, you made his character bad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's always, and that's exactly what was in the email of that broad that was writing to us, Frank.
Yeah.
You know, who made me that way?
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I wrote back to her. Always have an excuse. No matter what your shortcomings are, it's somebody else's fault. You know, what are these people going to do 100 years from now when people finally say, you know what, you've been around on your own long enough. Stop with the excuses. You're on your own.
Well,
they're all going to die because they won't be developing skills. They're going to be voting for people who actually think, and I've heard certain black people say, they actually think that Obama's going to pay their mortgage for them.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen this woman. She said, I don't have to worry about my mortgage payment. I don't have to have stuff putting gas in my car payments. You know, they took the Christianity and they replaced it with this new religion of theirs.
Yeah.
And you know, and as far as when people hit me with this, the white man, what the white man did, I always say, well, what did the white man find when he got there? What were you doing before the white man had contact with you? And they really don't. They can never really give me an answer. They can't figure out what to say.
You know what I always say to them? Name me a black Albert Schweitzer. Okay. Name me
not
a black.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. Name me a black Albert Schweitzer who in Africa fought against disease and set up a clinic and get or use their native indigenous medicine. You know, you watch. They have a program on cable, what a riot, Medicine Woman, where this woman, it's a half-hour program, goes around the world and she learns the indigenous medicine of the people, you know, and she learns the ancient Inca medicines that were, you know, what a crock of BS this is. But you see, it's a rejection of our culture and our technology.
Well, not only that, but the environmentalists would have a good time with that because a lot of it is like parts of animals that they kill. Do they bring up rhinoceros horn?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Different parts of different animals that they use as aphrodisiacs or, I mean, let's face it, if you really start opening this thing up, this is really going to open up a can of worms. I look at this, too, as a... The attack on Western civilization is just a worldwide thing. I mean, you know, first it was South Africa, and when I seen McCain giving his concession speech, I'm thinking this just is so creepy. It just reminded me so much of the way they acted in South Africa when they turned this over to Mandela. And what's the difference between bailing these people out and, like, tribute, when the Europeans used to have to pay tribute to barbarians.
Right.
But, you know, Don, the mentality to say something like that, someone else is going to pay for my mortgage. That's the mindset you have with certain people, that somebody, you're not supposed to take responsibility for your own bills. Someone else is supposed to come and help you out.
And I tell them that too. I say, isn't that a slave mentality?
It is.
Aren't you on the master's, you know, waiting for the master to feed you and clothe you and take care of you?
They don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care as long as they're getting it for nothing.
Yeah.
That's the only reason to vote Democrat.
That's that old slave mentality. We're going to run
along. See, it doesn't make any difference whether the Democrats were running the show in the segregationist South.
That's right.
All those years that they were oppressed. No. As long as today's Democrats are saying, vote for us, we'll give you everything for nothing, that's totally, that history is wiped out.
And the Republicans are going right along with it. That's why something different has to happen. I mean, I'm really losing, I'm really losing any kind of, I don't really believe in the process anymore. It's been so pissed on.
It has. It has. Look,
democracy. They perverted the process.
When the Democrats lost 52 seats in the House in 94, when the Republicans finally became the majority after 40 or 50 years, did the Democrats say, we've got to change, there's something wrong with our philosophy, we've got to change? No.
No, they made some phony excuse like Bill Clinton said. I think I remember him saying this. Well, it just goes to show that the American people want to change, but it didn't come fast enough.
Yeah, but look at,
they
look
didn't
the way,
change. They plowed ahead even more and got more radical.
But they have a tidal wave. The Republicans have a tidal wave coming toward them, and they open up a flimsy umbrella. Like, all right, the $700 billion, that's an emergency. We have to do that right away. We have to do this right away.
Panic.
But yet the border wasn't an emergency. We have to take our time and think about the border and let's look at the situation.
Let's really hash it out.
And a lot of those people that got those stupid mortgages that they should have never gotten illegal invaders, too.
That's right.
Well, the country's republic's done.
Now one judge, I think, out west or I don't know if it was in California, in some district, ruled that caved in to the immigrant advocacy groups that you can no longer use the term illegal immigrant, invader, or anything like that.
In the Philadelphia Daily News, I've seen a real good one. They had a reporter, the Democratic National Convention, remember 1968?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
He said, you know, I was there when the police rioted.
Yeah, the police rioted.
So now it's the police riots.
Of course.
It's been totally turned upside down.
I know.
And voting, I hate to say it, voting is not going to get us out of this.
No. All right,
that'll
Don.
That'll never happen.
We're going to move along. Good talking to you.
Take care, John.
All right, Bye. Don. Take care.
Let's stay in Pennsylvania. Let's go to Ronnie in Ardmore.
Cheryl will be with you shortly.
Welcome to The Right Perspective, Ronnie.
All righty. Good evening.
Hey, Ron.
Is it good morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, I gotta pull Don off the ledge here. All right.
How come they didn't say on ABC TV the way they did in '94 when the Republicans won, the American people threw a temper tantrum?
Yeah. Not only that, Don gets the Daily News. He mentioned they had an Obama picture and. I didn't get that with George W. for last two elections, and I didn't get one for first of all, Don, stop watching TV. Bill Maher is irrelevant. He'll go away if you don't mention his name or you don't pay attention to him. Mm-hmm. The same with The View. You keep putting these things on and keep mentioning their names, it keeps it going. They'll go away. Don't pay attention to them. All of us do not pay attention. It'll go away, okay? It'll become irrelevant.
Yeah. Well, I wish that was true, because a lot of times when liberal programs start to fail, the government or liberals come in to prop them up. Look at Talk America.
Waste them up. Yeah, Air America.
Yeah.
And John, it's a good example. John, I have XM Radio, and I listen to Air America. I listen to the Al Franken show, and I mean, Jesus, God, it almost made you want to quit your subscription. The show stunk. Randy Rhodes.
Why did you ever get a subscription?
I got a couple other things I listen to on XM, and I'm invested in XM too. So, you know, so and it's very good radio. If you drive in a car and you go to, you know, Frank, you go up to Canada and back, and you turn some music on, you'll not hear a commercial, and it's beautiful. Okay, there's good aspects to the XM radio. But if you listen to, I've listened very a lot to Air America. I'll tell you what, Jerry Springer had a show at noon to 3, and it was a very good show. He might have been like the 9 to 12 slot, actually.
I remember he had the show. In fact, I think I called him.
Did you? Yeah, it was a good talk about callers. Yeah, who is Stephen Manhattan? I hear him at 6 in the morning. I wake up to Bill Bennett in the morning. What's that guy? He calls shows all the time.
I think so.
He's good. He was pushing Trancado this morning at 6:15 in the morning. I hear him on the radio. There's Steve. Hello, Steve. he was out there. But going back on the XM, they have some good shows. But again, Randy Rhodes, Maddox had a show on it. All they do is name call. They don't address issues.
Yeah.
They don't address nothing at all. That's why the radio fails.
kids that they try to crucify from Duke University. You know, oh, those rich punks. And why? Why are you calling them that? They're not guilty of anything. What did they do? Why? Because their family is well off. That makes them criminal. You know, it's such blatant class warfare and class hatred. You know, it's like if you said on a conservative show, why those black animals, they're black. Oh, that's verboten. But if you attack someone due to their class or their status, or, and plus if they're white, it's all right. I mean, it's no problem whatsoever. You could say anything you want about
them. Yeah, I remember when Colin Ferguson shot up 26 people on the Long Island Railroad.
So do I.
On December 24th.
I'm down here in Philly, but I remember, that was...
Well, Tom Galata, the DA out there, referred to Colin Ferguson as an animal. And Jesse Jackson threw a hissy fit. He was more concerned about what Tom Galata called Colin Ferguson than Colin Ferguson shooting 26 innocent people because they were white.
John, I got...
See, and that's the trick. Turn it around. Divert the attention from the horror committed by a black man. Ooh, we can't have a black man have a finger pointed to him as a racial, a hate crime. No, that's always supposed to be one way.
Yeah, so easy to flip it. At the same time, as that stripper claimed that she was molested by the Duke University?
Yeah.
There was a horrendous crime down in Tennessee.
I remember that, yeah.
I put it this way, I always mention Hal Turner. Hal Turner covered it heavily.
Yeah.
Guy and a girl. Terrible story. I don't even want to repeat it on the airwaves. That got nothing in the press.
Of course not. It doesn't stir up as much
hatred.
You know, they have this...
stir up anger in me.
They had this story recently of an Hispanic guy who was just beaten up on Long Island.
No, killed.
Yeah, these two kids.
Yeah, he was killed. Yeah. It's even worse.
No, raped. And there was they were raped and killed.
Well, there was five or six white kids, and like there was one that was like half Hispanic or something. And, of course, they had to mention the fact that one of the white kids played lacrosse, and the other one had a swastika on his knee. See, why did they have to mention the fact that this guy played lacrosse? You know why? Because it conjures up an image of a white guy being a rich, spoiled kid who doesn't want anybody different around. And I called them up. I called up the authors of that article, and I ripped into them. Said, you had to mention the fact that this guy had a SWAT sticker on his leg? Why don't you talk about the fact that in the jails out in California, Hispanics have to form groups to protect themselves against racist blacks who are attacking them in the jails? Why don't you do a story on that?
We'll parlay into the race issue where 96% of the blacks voted for Obama. And everybody, I don't see that as a big issue because blacks basically make out to be about 12% of the population. Okay, that's not a real I sent you guys pictures. I'm kind of in the belly of the beast when it comes to this election stuff. They're a formidable group, but I mean 12% of the population will not elect the president.
No,
it is more or less the mindset of the other percentile of the people that elected this guy.
Sure.
And you talk to him, you say this guy, and he's my president. I want my country back, or whatever we're going to say. But I do, as a conservative and American, you got to respect the office and the people who have spoken. But what has made the people go this far left? And maybe it is that TV, and that's why I say turn that goddamn TV off, everybody tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brian. There was a lot of younger people who were encouraged to vote this election cycle, and every one of them are coming out of schools brainwashed. Republicans bad, Democrats good. Republicans evil, Democrats holy.
Hey, John, I'll fight you that right now. I'm involved in this a little bit.
I have about 7 good kids in my neighborhood between the ages of 18 and 30, and I'm 42, so I'm still young myself. But and they're tenacious. They're fighting. They say this is I brag. I infiltrated Hereford College, which is probably one of the most liberal colleges in the country. Between that, Bryn Mawr College, Strathmore, I've got Republican kids on that campus. Not many. I got about 10, but you know, I'm not going to take over the campus overnight. There is young. See, that's where we got to focus on are the young kids. We got to make it hit.
Yeah, but you said only 10%. There you go.
No. Well, Hereford College, I think, has about total 200 kids, students. Now, maybe if I find, which I have 10, 12, of those kids, that the conservative children that reformed a Republican club on the campus, you figure you may have 30 of the hardcore leftists on there that's going to for which they do have a club. And then you got a battle of ideas there. That's where we got to hit on is the campuses. We got to have, you know, funny humor, like you got that, what's that flea nut there, Daily Show, that guy.
Oh yeah.
Bill Maher, another one. I know who they are. I don't watch them. I don't subscribe to HBO because of Bill Maher or Showtime or any of those. Don't even mention their names.
No.
They're irrelevant. Don't mention Whoopi Goldberg. Irrelevant. Yeah, failed, like Combs is a failed comedy act. Franken is a failed comedy act. They're all comedy acts.
Wow.
The more we worry about them and what their influence is, don't worry, go out in your own neighborhood, like I'm doing, and say, hey, man, listen to the rightperspective.com, man.
No.
You know, and get good radio, good thought-provoking, good point of view.
I appreciate that, but I tell you, I haven't seen one young person that was interviewed or spoken to by a reporter on TV or on the radio that didn't say that they were voting for Obama.
It is mass hysteria, but the fight's not over. The fight is there. I don't give up hope. Like I said, I got a nice crew underneath me. I'm a small committee person in a small precinct, or not large precinct. In a war, you know, and if you start on that ground level and you find the people, I was out in front of the polling booth handing out the Republican, I call propaganda. Here my propaganda. Here we, you know, like a carnival act, having fun. People laugh, jolly. You know, people were coming up to me saying thank you. I said, I ain't doing nothing. Man, I believe in this stuff. Don't thank me. Thank me. Thank me by voting. Go ahead. And some people didn't even vote in that voting booth. They got out of their car, stopped, went up to me, shook my hand, said, hey, thank you for what you're doing. Because I was, you know, conservative.
Yeah, but how do you know they weren't there to vote Republican anyway?
No, they weren't voting there, period. They just were driving in the neighborhood. They seen a conservative out there trying, pumping, you know, with the bullhorn. I didn't have a bullhorn, but, you know, out there pumping the good fight. I've never seen that in 15 years of working the polling booth. I've never seen somebody in the Democratic Party get out of the car and say thank you. Usually they bitch and moan about something. I've never seen somebody actually take the time, think about that. Now, busy day, everything, you got to vote, and then you're driving through a neighborhood,
well,
and you see a voting booth, and you see a guy out in front of the place. You say, oh, I'm going to stop my car, get out, thank the man, and go back in the car and go my way. I got that three or four times last Tuesday.
Wow! Did you hear that? Did you see?
Mind.
Did you see
and
that?
I,
did you see that video of that of
that?
That black teacher who was browbeating a young student in her classroom because she said
it was on in every classroom.
Yeah, this black teacher tried to browbeat this white little kid who had a father serving in Iraq.
I know about it, John. Yeah, I know. I'm familiar. Like I said, you're... That,
why wasn't she fired?
John, guess what?
Church and state.
John, we got to start with the youth and educate them on that. And it's out there. It is out there, and I got to... Like I said, we can't just give up hope and say the country's over and the world's over. It's there. And mark my word, trust me, as a long-time listener, back to the shortwave days on 7415, it is there. The confidence is there. The youth is we got to draw them out, though, because now, it's, you know, you get called a name if you're conservative. Just like out there in California, you see how childish the other, and that's why I point out, I said, look how childish this is. They can't accept,
right.
they can't regroup and try to explain their argument or explain their cause. They got to go out, boycott, fight, scream and yell.
Well, maybe it's time for our side to start getting a little violent.
I tell you what, because yeah. I can switch in. John, last time I talked, did you see the photos I sent you?
Yeah.
Okay, Frank did. I was the night, how that got arranged was the night before I was with Linda Lingle. Do you know who Linda Lingle is?
I don't.
The governor of Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, that's the one that hid the birth certificate for Obama.
She is in a tough situation.
But why is it? It's only tough if you're going to be a politician first.
And she's a politician first. She is. But
instead
she,
of doing what's
she,
right.
Put it this way, I don't carry any water for her because I'm here in Pennsylvania. But I'm going to try to carry a little bucket. She is in like a 90% Democratic state.
So what?
She's the first Republican governor. She'll be out of power. And then
so what?
That's one less governor we have.
She'll never be out of a job, though. Once you reach that high level in politics, even if you lose an election, somebody will be there to offer you a job somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why you should always do what's right instead of playing politics. Don, we're going to move along.
Okay.
I mean, Ron.
You got it, guy.
Talk to you next week.
All right, Ron.
Steve, get some sleep, will you? I don't want to hear you.
You'll call at the last minute.
Right on.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go. We want to go to Cheryl, and then we'll go to Brock.
Hold. But I keep putting the wrong button. There we go. Okay, then we'll go to Brock in Texas. Let's go to Cheryl in New Jersey.
Hey, Cheryl.
Hello, Frank. Hello, John. Didn't he have to attend his grandmother's funeral to bury her? Didn't he have to be there when she got buried? He ran out there to Hawaii. The great-grandchildren did not go out there. His wife didn't go out there. Only he went out there. And he's saying, oh, he loved his grandmother. He waited until he was in front of an audience in Florida, loaded with grandmothers, to announce her death. Who knows if she was dead beforehand? And then he announces her death, and so she's dead. Don't you have to go out to the funeral? Here you're saying that she was so important to you, and he doesn't go out to the funeral.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. That isn't the way you show respect for this woman who sacrificed so much for you. And I don't go along with the story that the mother wanted him to go to a special school in Hawaii. I'm thinking that it was the stepfather, the second guy that the mother married, who didn't want him in his household. Eventually, she divorced that stepfather. But he basically was tossed out of the house, sent back to Hawaii, and raised by the grandparents. I think he's resentful that his mother sent him out of the house that he lived in with his mother because they had another child. The mother had a child, his sister, with the stepfather. Why couldn't he live in the same household with his stepsister, with his stepfather, and with his biological mother?
Well, now you know why he called himself a mutt. You can't follow
the
tree with this guy.
You bet. And when I was watching his victory speech, he said what he had said out in Colorado, the exact same words. We're going to have a civilian militia, and it's going to be as well-funded as the military. What about the cops? We got cops. What do we need a civilian militia for? And this goes way back to the other Saul Alinsky graduate student over there, Miss Hillary Rotten. She had said with that Amadou Diallo thing, when that happened up in the Bronx, she was the first lady, the Wicked Witch of the West Wing over there. And she was saying, we're going to investigate the police in New York. Giuliani was the mayor at that point of time. And she said, we're going to have our own investigation above the police.
Yeah, I remember
they
that.
They always go above the police. Now, when I went into Google and I looked for his victory speech in Grant Park out there in Chicago, not one of those items on the computer had the mention of the civilian militia. And I heard it.
Yeah.
And I had heard those words again on the Bill Cunningham show. He comes on Sunday nights. And he played the sound bites, and he was saying, what is this civilian militia force? What is this going to do? From out of nowhere, this is Nazism. This is what Saul Alinsky, with his communistic attitudes and what he was preaching, this comes straight out of Saul Alinsky.
Yeah, well, the next thing we'll have a... we'll be giving jobs to Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam cult.
That's the civilian militia.
They'll be
militia.
Standing all over neighborhoods with their arms folded in the sunglasses and the bow ties.
This is the civilian militia. This is who he's planning on hiring.
Yeah.
This is it. This is it. And as for change, I don't have to come up with any new names for anybody. He came up with Madeleine Halfbright.
Right.
He's going to put Hillary Rotten
all
in as the Secretary of State. Hillary Rotten, she was such a rotten candidate. She dreamed about becoming the president. She dreamed about her inauguration. She dreamed about her coronation. She fought a lousy campaign. She did not do it right. And there was something from way, way back, because when he won the first Iowa caucus, and that was the first thing that launched all of the primaries. The primaries and the caucuses are launched with the Iowa caucus. From the very beginning, he stole the election, and she just sat back. She did not do anything. And it was way back in October of 07, and the russet potato head, as I always called him, he had brought up the question with the archives. Why haven't her papers been released? And she said, well, the archives move along as the archives move along. Well, nothing has been released. Her papers have not been released. They showed that she made teas and coffees in the White House. You had a little crumpet with it, who knows. And she immediately after that debate, it was October of 07. She ran to Wellesley, the college she graduated from. Her thesis, her graduate thesis, was on Saul Alinsky. And she had titled it after a T.S. Eliot wording there. There is nothing but the fight. And you keep fighting and fighting and fighting. You keep losing and losing and losing, but you keep fighting on.
That's what they did even after 1994 when they lost.
They
didn't stop.
The same routine. This is why Rush Limbaugh was getting so monotonous, because Hillary Rotten is so monotonous. Nothing has been released. And there's some deal that she cut long ago with Barry, and she figured, you know, if you win, you make me into a high position. You give me a high position. A fortune of money was spent on those primaries. He was spending money like crazy, and she was spending money like crazy. And it was going on for the longest time. This started the beginning of 07.
And we thought we were rid of the, we thought we were rid of the Clintons, huh?
Oh, we can't get rid of them, John. We can't get rid of them.
Yeah, but now Bill, what's his name? Bill Richardson is also being considered for Secretary of State.
They'll find him another job. She wants that position.
I don't know if she wants that.
Yeah, because it's the first of all of the cabinet positions. That's why she wants
it. Well, she'll want it in her resume for the next time that she runs.
Oh.
All right, Cheryl, we're gonna have to move along a little faster tonight because it's
go right ahead. Battle on, Patriot.
More than ever. More than ever.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Take care.
We appreciate it, Cheryl.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
And now I don't know if I'll be here Friday night in 3 weeks. So if I'm not, Cheryl will be sitting in. Let's go to Brock in Texas, who's been patiently waiting. Welcome to Brock.
Hello, guys. I have something to say about Obama's cousin. John called him Obama's brother. I'd never heard that.
Oh, his cousin, yeah. Well, doesn't he? No, I think he has a half-sister.
Oh.
Well, either way, he ran on the same campaign slogan change a few years ago, and Obama actually went to campaign for him. And I brought that up today after class, and, well, finally happened. They finally labeled me that word they always come back
to. Of course.
Really? What gives them the rationalization of that?
I don't know. I guess it's because some students had been saying that anyone who says that Obama is tied with radicals must be a racist.
They think that's going to work for everything.
Well, what kind of reasoning do they give for that? What does that mean?
I have no idea. I tried to continue the conversation, but they kept coming back to that, and so I just decided to walk away and not put up with their nonsense.
You know, I mean, what could I ask? What school you go to? Can you?
I'd rather not say right now.
Well, when people call me a racist, I always say to them, "There's no such thing as white racism. There's only white race pride, and that equals white race survival." And that really upsets them. But, you know, what they do is they see that's something that immediately you're on the defensive. They call you a racist. Yeah. Well, I ignore it. I ignore it. I just tell them somebody says that. I say, well, you know, you're just ignorant and you're just searching.
Call them paranoid.
Yeah, paranoid. That's what I do. I mean, I remember there was a black guy many years ago had said something to me, and then he goes, you're not racist, are you? And I said, no, are you, but you're not paranoid, are you? And this guy was, like, stunned. He, like, couldn't come across with an answer. The best answer to that is, you're just paranoid.
Yeah.
And believe me, that gets them so, because that immediately, see, what they're doing is they're trying to immediately brand you. But what that does is that immediately illegitimizes them in anything they're saying. Because now they have to wonder if they really are. But that's just a foretaste of what's going to be for the next 4 years. And the fact that it's in our colleges, where it's most prevalent, is very frightening. Because that's like what they did with the Red Guards. You know, anybody that dared to disagree with the great Chairman Mao, the great helmsman. You ever notice these communist dictators always are called are always given these magnificent titles, the great helmsman, the great statesman, the genius of the Carpathians, the great leader, the dear leader, El Comandante. They always have these magnificent titles, these overblown titles. But that's what they do. And he had the Red Guards stifle any and all dissent. You were called a capitalist rotor, a running dog, a Wall Street lackey, whatever title they want, a reactionary. That's what they want to
zealot.
Do. Zealot. They want to turn it a rightist. They want to use them to turn our universities, which are already riddled and infested with leftist scum in the academia. They want to turn it where nobody's going to dare to. Because the worst thing you can be called, Brock, is a racist. That's the worst thing in this society. They found how to do it. They put in Obama, and now that gives them the perfect way to stifle any and all opposition or dissent, because if you're criticizing him and he's black, therefore you must be a racist. It's very simple.
Well, Brock, the next time that they call you a racist, you tell them, you just voted for a guy who used the term typical white person.
Right.
And also said in his book, white man's greed keeps a world in need. Who's the racist?
Yeah, that's true. And I think it also boils down to just plain insecurity at the same time.
Sure. Well, it boils down to a lack of argument. They think that reply neutralizes any discussion, and therefore they don't have to face the facts that you present to them, and they think it just ends the argument. You're a racist, and that's the answer to everything.
I also had
it's actually, you should tell them they're the racist for bringing race into it.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. But I had another question regarding one of your older interviews. Sometimes at the beginning of your show, you play a little sound clip where you're talking to someone and he compares Tojo, or he compares President Truman to Tojo.
Yeah, that is...
Philip Noble.
Philip Noble, yeah.
Oh, was... News guy emailed me and told me that was before he produced the show.
Right.
Whenabouts was that interview?
Oh, that interview had to be about, I would say, what, about 2000?
Yeah, I have the entire interview, by the way. I have it somewhere in the file here, the Philip Noble interview. It's really a riot because it builds up, you know, into the inevitable, where he eventually can't take the heat, and his only cop out is to call us names and then just eventually hang up.
Yes.
Well, isn't that's pretty much what that other guy did, the governor, in the summer. Ventura.
Oh, yeah. Moron. What's wrong with the water? Is there something wrong with the water in Minnesota? They elect this clown as governor. Then they vote for even a worse degenerate, a real degenerate, Al Franken. I mean, how are the people of Minnesota, are they really that stupid? Is there something, like, functionally wrong with them that they would even cast one vote for it? I mean, voting for Al Franken, it reminds me of, like, people who send write-in votes for Mickey Mouse or Goofy or Bugs Bunny. I mean, I'd rather vote for Bugs Bunny than Al Franken. I mean, I can't imagine how in that state they even voted for this piece of crap.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, and have you guys ever been approached for offers on another radio station?
Never.
No, they would never do it.
Never.
But I mean, you guys got international listenership. That has to be attractive to, you know, stations.
Yeah, we say too many things that you're not allowed to say on other shows. And
there's a micro broadcaster in Texas wants to put us on. But, you know, that's limited. But this show could never, ever be on commercial
Here's
radio.
What you were talking about, by the way, Brock. Okay.
Is rated C for conservatism. Listener discretion is advised. Broadcasting for one man SWAT team.
And Frank from Queens.
The man that Bill Clinton calls the most dangerous caller in talk radio.
Now.
It's a liberal's worst nightmare.
You believe that Harry Truman was a war criminal?
Under Nuremberg standards, was indictable for war crimes.
You would compare Harry Truman to Tojo and Hitler?
Absolutely. Now, try to be serious. I know you guys are a right-wing fanatic.
And
you're not a left-wing fanatic, huh?
Hey, look, listen.
No, we're more concerned with the millions of Chinese who were murdered by the Japanese.
I am on the verge of hanging up on you guys.
Why? Because you're challenged?
Yeah, I think he hung up.
I knew it.
The Verge.
Yeah,
I'm on The Verge.
And you know what happened with this dirtbag? You know what you got to do, John, one night? Instead of playing John and Frank, or after you play John and Frank, play the entire interview.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? He got a job as a, what was he, a substitute teacher in a high school in New York City. And what was he doing? He was attacking, or he was...
He molested, I think.
No. He was doing something where he was accusing somebody else, another teacher, of doing something so that he could get their position. And then he was exposed. It's Philip Noble. Now, Philip Noble used to come on Barry Farber's show. And the reason we got him on is because I would hear this idiot on Barry Farber, and he's a pseudo-intellectual. So I said, you know what, to our producer at that time, the late Rod Coppola, you know, get this idiot on. Because people like him, Stanton Friedman, Mark Lane, Jesse Ventura, there are certain people, when you hear them on the radio, A, the host doesn't have any idea what they're talking about, and they just sling basically, to be honest, a lot of BS. So my idea is people like this have to be brought on a program where they're going to actually be challenged, and if they don't like it, too bad.
Yeah.
So his whole thesis was that because Harry Truman dropped the atom bomb to end the war on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which, as you know, as a loyal listener, it's coming up December 7th. Hip, hip, hooray for Hiroshima. We kicked the... Oh, no, that was already in August. We're going to have our Pearl Harbor Day. But, you know, we celebrate the bombing of those two cities. He compared Harry Truman to Tojo and Hitler. And it was so absurd that, you know, I had to get him on. And he didn't like, you know, being challenged.
Yeah. I have the whole, Brock, when you finish here, don't hang up. I'll get you off the air, and I'll give you the Philip Noble interview. I'll send it to you if you give me your email address.
All right.
Because I have it right here. No, it actually...
Philip Noble there.
Hello.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Noble. Welcome.
See, that's the beginning of it, and I'll send you the whole interview.
All right. That'll be nice.
So don't hang up. You know, when we'll put you back on hold when you're finished. So.
Okay. One more thing.
Yeah.
I think you guys touched on Larry Sinclair earlier. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys ever try to get him back on the show?
Yes. The news guy did try to get him on. And
what's his first name again?
Larry.
Yeah. It was very. I don't know. Larry said he was in the hospital and. He didn't answer the phone, then he did answer. It was, like, very convoluted with him, and he seems to have dropped out. But we're going to try to get him on because I believe the guy now, and I'll tell him. I didn't believe you, quite honestly, when you were on. But watching Obama, his mannerisms, he's obviously, I'm telling you, this guy is another Jim McGreevy. This guy is a bisexual. There's something very effeminate about him. Excuse me. When we were doing a show in New Jersey, we used to do it in a town. It's called the Armpit of New Jersey, Keensburg. And there was a club, and we used to drive down there. There was a disco on, you take Route 35 as a local road that you take down there. And it was called the Coliseum Club. And I would pass by, but would never give it two thoughts, you know? And somebody had said down there, excuse me, somebody had said down there.
Want some water for
No, I'm okay. That Jim McGreevy was seen there. Now, I'm going back to the year 2000, and it was an open secret that he used to visit gay clubs in New Jersey. And then finally it broke with his boyfriend that he appointed head of... Homeland Security for New Jersey. So I am telling you this is going to happen with Obama. He's on what they call the down low. And he's either paying someone. He's probably got a whole army of them that he's had homosexual relations with. This guy Larry Sinclair is on the up and up because he also admitted that he used cocaine at one time. You're going to see.
Yeah, there are way too many inconsistencies with what Obama says.
Sure.
And there's another thing. his mentor, his name escapes me right now.
Frank Marshall?
Yeah, that's the man. Did you guys read that there was an autobiography that came out or something where he admitted that he was a pedophile?
Who, Frank Marshall?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a show on that.
Oh, that was back in August, right?
Right, yes. So you're a very astute listener. You remember all the shows. Thank you. We're very flattered.
Well, it's pretty interesting stuff. I mean, you know, because I grew up on stuff like Savage and Hannity, so this is an escape from all that.
All right, I could understand that. That's formulaic radio. And by the way, when we said to Barry Farber about Sean Hannity, we made that up. So
he's going to go back to Hannity.
He goes back to Hannity. Hannity hates our guts. Do you know that Hannity hates our guts?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Well, I would figure you guys always used to call into his and, I believe, Alan Combs' show.
Oh, Combs, yeah, but Hannity hates our guts.
Yeah, he doesn't like the fact that we're brutally honest.
Yeah, and that we're on the radio kills him because, you know, he wants everybody to have the impression that he's this great talent. So what happened is we used to IM him while we were doing the show, and we had a battle with this idiot. This was for a couple of years, and he would IM us back, "What's your ratings, loser? Yeah. Who's listening to your show, loser? Nobody listens, ha, ha, ha." And then the guy is like a child. You know how a child will go, "Well, my father has a bigger, better car than your father,"
yeah.
And this idiot is IMing us back going, "I have a so-and-so share of the audience. What's your share?" He's like obsessed with that. So when we got on TalkStream Live, I said, "Hey, schmuck, go to TalkStream Live and see who's number one at this time." Then I said to our listeners, our loyal legions of listeners, I said, "Hannity said nobody's listening. Why don't you send an IM to him?" He got bombed with so many IMs that he put a block on us so that we couldn't get through to him.
Yeah.
And Savage, who stole "Liberalism is a Mental Disorder" from me, somebody called him up and it said that it's on a website that you stole it. He gives out with his phony act. "I'll sue them from here to Baghdad." Well, you know what? If you notice, he doesn't use that anymore because now we have the tape of it being said and the year that it was being said, and it precedes him by a few years. So he can't, and I'm still waiting for him to sue us.
Yeah, we got it all in our
archives.
I call our archives here. And there's a whole bunch of them when we mention, you know, either a mental disease, a mental disorder a couple of times. So.
Sure.
And so, all right, Brock.
All right.
We're going to move along.
Give us a call next week. And stay hard, stay strong, and don't let them dare try to intimidate you with that. Doesn't mean anything. Facts always, as Jefferson said, the founding father, facts are stubborn things.
That's right.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Anybody annoyed by my coughing? You want to go to Steve in Manhattan?
Let's go to John. And
go to
Steve
John.
Just called.
And then Steve from Manhattan. And I want, before you get on, Steve, I want you to know, you are always welcome at The Right Perspective, and you will always have a friend at The Right Perspective.
Right.
This isn't those other shows. Yes, John from Connecticut. Go ahead.
The Right Perspective prophets.
Yes.
Are at it again. Prophecy is revealed over and over again every Friday night.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks.
You know, what guys like Brock can have full faith in is that the principles taught here on The Right Perspective are history tested and proven. You know,
it's
a fact. And even Farber was so, you know, impressed that you guys are dot connectors and you can put all these things together and things that he can't do. Because you keep track of your history. You have a history of the shows, an archive of all that great stuff that was there. So you can go back and pull it up, and there it is. You can say all the things you talked about before that are coming true now. But it's basic common sense stuff, like when Ronald Reagan campaigned on this stuff, you knew it would work because it was history proven and tested. And when he got into office and acted on these things, they worked. To everybody's surprise, they worked.
That's right.
You know? And that was an awesome interview you had with Barry there, Frank. That was tremendous.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
During the week. So I hope everybody can get onto the website and listen to that. But one thing that just shocked me was how so afraid he seemed there at that one point when he was talking about how Obama might come after you guys and everything. Weren't you a little surprised by that?
Yeah. I mean,
you know, he took umbrage to the fact that you used white founding fathers.
Right. But, you know, that was done for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, why can the media and faculty say what's bad about those great white men and we can't say what's good about them? I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
No, I mean, what's wrong with saying white? I mean, why is saying white automatically considered a racial thing? Well, it is racial. It's racial as much as you're mentioning the person's race. So we shouldn't mention that they were white, but we should mention he's the first black president. And when it comes out that he's biracial, we can say he's the first biracial and bisexual president.
Well, the fact is when we stand up for Western culture, it's very simple. We're standing up for what works. It's that simple. We don't want all these other cultures and their rejected philosophies infiltrating our shores. Really. It's those failed practices that we are stopping. We're saying, no, history proves those don't work. We don't want them here. But they're forcing them down our throat through multiculturalism, right?
Sure. Well,
so just some hypocrisy of the left. You know how we're supposed to be so accepting of all these cultures, right?
Right, but then I...
Well, why weren't the Beringians multicultural? Why didn't they accept us into their shores when
right.
we came over?
That's right.
Yeah, why weren't they multicultural? See the hypocrisy there? They never look back at history and just, it's right there.
Sure, it always works one way.
Yeah. Yep. And another one of their great hypocrisies, you know, they always try and explain away, you know, affirmative action and helping out these you know, people. I think, well, it's atonement for slavery, right? And some people might say, yeah, you know, yeah. Well, the fact is, why does it include Hispanics? They were never enslaved. Why are they now into that group that the, you know, the ruling class believes to be special? See, that's the trick. And Brock needs to fight the racism charge with a lot of what you're saying, but also by saying they're the true racists because they want special treatment for a certain class of people or a certain race or Hispanics or black. We want equality for all. But you see, that makes us racist because we want to be colorblind. You see, we want true equality for everybody. Nobody having any special treatment. Government's role is that of an umpire to ensure an equal playing field for all. We don't want any special treatment for anybody.
No.
Just that chance at the so-called American dream.
Well, you know,
that's
John.
What that's what the founding fathers wanted, not
right.
the cradle to grave,
yeah.
BS, you know, socialism, totalitarianism that these progressives have been pushing for 100 years.
You know, see, John, you did something very important. And I hope that you will, I know you will continue to do it. And I urge all of our listeners to do it. And that is to do what I do. I thought about it last night. And I realized it, is to have a parallel vocabulary. Our vocabularies must be parallel. We cannot give in to them by using their words. So when you use Beringian, that's excellent because that's the parallel word. We don't use Native American. We know that our Salutrian founders were white Caucasian Salutrian ancestors were the original Native Americans. So we use Beringian. I never, ever used the term capitalism that was dreamed up by Karl Marx who sat on his goddamn fat ass in the Library of London while Friedrich Engels supported him and he lived the bourgeoisie lifestyle while at the same time condemning a free enterprise. So we can't use their terms. We can never use the term, ever use the term underclass. That is a Marxist term. And the more we have our own parallel vocabulary, it is a more of a rejection of them. So that this way, they can't control how we think. Because by using their terms and their words, they control how we think. So we have to use our own parallel vocabulary. And when we speak to people, when we use our parallel vocabulary and they don't understand, it gives us, it opens up the wonderful opportunity for us to educate them.
Yes. And like you say, Frank, they aren't taught the evils of socialism. They aren't taught it in school. So it's so easy for the young to be caught up in the trappings of all this stuff. It seems so good. It's so compassionate. A handout. It's so easy to fall victim to that because they've not taught what happens when you allow this to happen. And one of the biggest things is protecting economic freedom.
Yeah, well, not only are they not taught the evils of socialism, Marxism, communism, they're taught that capitalism, free market is the evil, and socialism, Marxism, communism aren't so bad.
John, and this is where we need to just simply attack them with the facts. And I want to bring up one historic example which just shows it so well. But you know, and you guys know, more than anything, when economic freedom is protected, societies see vast increases in productivity that result in higher quality, low-cost products that benefit the poor most of all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's common sense stuff. And one historic example that can show political freedom is secondary to economic freedom. Because when you look at two things, Frank, when you look at the Meiji Restoration of the mid-1800s and you looked at post-World War II India, okay, the Japanese were an oligarchy there and the Indians were a democracy, but they took two different ways of structuring their economies. At the time, they knew of nothing else than a free market society back in the 1860s there. So they took on that economic system and prospered like a juggernaut. In 5 to 10 years, they turned that from a backwards country into a country that succeeded tremendously. Out of darkness comes prosperity. And look at the Indians. They took on a socialist system because that's what they knew at the time in the 40s. That was the avant-garde, the new social engineering system that is the new wave of the future. And look at the despair they brought onto their country. Even so far as now, they're still trying to implement economic freedom into that country. Over a quarter of that population makes less than 25 cents a day. I mean, it might even be a week. That's how bad it is. Yeah. They have improved so much in the last 10 years by increasing economic freedom. So that is the most important thing, and that's why free trade and all these other things are so important to ensure that prosperity, you know, rules.
That's right.
And you know, go ahead, Frank.
Just want to say that, you know, people call up, and you'll hear them on these talk shows, and they parrot what a host says, but they really don't understand that the host is incorrect. The host falls into the trap, and he's supposed to be a conservative, but he has a limited knowledge of history and a limited understanding of Bolshevism. So they'll say, these people are Stalinists. There is no such thing as Stalinism. There's only Bolshevism.
They're trying to divert.
Right. And because by
saying, I have to admit, I have been a little bit to blame, and I was telling John last week, is that we accepted a lot of Bush's social gospel, progressive, compassionate conservatism because he was doing so well. See, he understood tax cutting like the British prime minister understand. They understand how to create the wealth, but Bush wanted to spend it. And we all fell a little victim to not speaking out as much as we should against that progressivism. And Bush was a progressive when it came to spending. So never again will we allow ourselves to fall victim to that type of spending practice.
Oh, I have a feeling that part of it was that this was an attempt to get along.
Yeah.
And make up for his guilt of winning election. You don't feel guilty for winning an election. You'll never satisfy. He doesn't understand the nature of the enemy. There is no satisfying these wolves. You don't try and get along with them. You try to defeat them. And before we let you go, John, just to get back to what you were talking about before, with why didn't the Indians accept us?
Beringians.
If they were supposed to be so you know, we're the only ones that are supposed to be intolerant of diversity and different people. It always works one way, see, with the left. They had this O.J. Simpson trial recently, you know, for breaking into that room and holding those people, kidnapped, and trying to take back what he said was his property. So he was on trial recently, and he was found guilty. But while they were picking the jurors, get this, there was one woman who they dismissed because she was glaring directly at Simpson. And the unidentified woman told prosecutors she believed O.J. is a self-absorbed celebrity who killed his ex-wife and her friend. Quote, "He chose to put himself in the public eye," she said. "He should be a little more self-conscious of his actions." Asked if she could brush off O.J.'s past in judging the current case, the woman snapped. "I think as far as the first trial, I felt he got away with murder." The woman was eventually dismissed for bias. Meanwhile, the judge that was in charge of the case, Judge Glass, her name was, she rejected defense calls to round up more minority jurors. Simpson and co-defendant Charles C.J. Stewart, who are both black, complained they won't get a fair trial if their jury ends up almost all white. So they don't even realize what they're saying here is that if they want more minority jurors, they're counting on those jurors who may be the same color as O.J. of disregarding the evidence and just finding him innocent because he's the same color as they are. Plus, they're saying that all white people are racist because they couldn't go by the evidence. And nobody ever says anything like that and brings it right.
Scared of, you know.
You guys didn't want to challenge him because whatever.
I like Barry.
You know why. But I just would have loved to hear you just ask him, you know, come on. You've got to admit some of these things we're talking about here. And he's close to admitting it. You can hear him. Hearing him sing that song tonight, I mean, that was wonderful.
What?
You know, he's too well trained to open up like that.
All right, John. And remember, George the Atheist says we don't use the term robber barons. We use the term captains of industry. Take care.
Good night.
Good night. And he's right, because when you think of it, who are the real robbers? The socialists. Because socialism is, I'm jealous of what that son of a bitch has, and I'm going to fix him for it. That's all it is.
Yeah, sure.
Forget all the graphs, the charts. Yeah. The rhetoric, the convoluted, arcane rhetoric, I'm jealous of that son of a bitch, and I'm going to fix him for that.
Yeah, and they always talk about sacrifice. You've heard this. That's
right.
Been bandied about ever since Obama. We have sacrifice. But they never sacrifice.
Never.
I guarantee, just like when the Eastern Bloc communist countries collapsed, all the big shots running the country had Swiss bank accounts with the American dollars in them.
Sure. Look at East Germany.
They took care of themselves.
Yeah, where half the country spied on the other half.
Yeah.
They had summer homes outside was exposed. Nobody knew about it. And to show you what you call the so-called, that's why you don't believe yourself. Follow your own heart. That's what I do. I follow my own heart. I believe in myself because I've seen articles on the op-ed page of the New York Times. One they had at the time of the collapse of the Bolshevik experiment, they're saying how East Germany may be the new vanguard of communism. Yeah, East Germany was a basket case. It was a fraudulent basket case. And like all Bolshevik basket cases, they had a huge army. You know, it's funny. They always talk. And there's another thing you have to watch for while we're on it, because things seem to open up the more you talk about it. When we develop our parallel vocabulary, you ever notice they always talk about the military-industrial complex? Yes, the military-industrial, there is no such thing, and there never was. And Eisenhower didn't believe it. Eisenhower read something that was written for him in a speech, and he just read the speech. He was reading down it. He didn't go over the speech beforehand. It was inserted at the very last moment. That's why he read it. He never believed in such a thing as, and there isn't. even though you may hear it on Alex Jones or hear all these left-wing schmucks say, the military industrial, there is none. Or you watch that movie, The Good Shepherd, where the Russian says, there never was, Russia was never, we were never a threat to you. You made it up, you know, he's talking to the CIA who's interrogating him, to keep your military-industrial complex. That's a load of crap. The military-industrial complex was in every goddamn communist country. Why does this little bastard in Havana need an army that size, huh? Why does he need an army that size? Why did they have a huge army in Nicaragua when Ortega was in power? Why is Venezuela under the psychopath, this flying monkey? Why is he building a huge army, buying submarines? He's buying jet planes. Why? What does he need it for? Why is it no matter what communist country, communist dictator, they immediately create a huge army? You know why? Because that's the only way they create jobs. They can't create jobs because they don't have an economy. So what do they do? And it's like, and that's why you better watch yourself with Jungle Boy, because he wants a civilian. No, he wants a civilian army. He wants to put people into his public service. Do you understand? That's how it's done. They don't create jobs. They create armies.
Yeah, why doesn't he just give them black uniforms and call them the Gestapo?
Well, that'll be next.
Yeah.
But that's not call them the Red Guards. Because he takes his cue from the Bolsheviks.
Yeah.
But that's why. We don't have a military-industrial complex. We never did. Our army was never, never the size of the Soviet and the size of the Chinese army. It was never that size during the Cold War. That was a goddamn lie. You look at their armies. You look at the size of the Warsaw Pact as it was compared to NATO. You couldn't even compare the two. But every time a Bolshevik seizes power, the first thing he does is he creates it. Why? Because if they control the economy, then therefore they're going to create factory jobs and they're going to create constant make work by creating a giant military. We never did that. That's what they do. So never fall for that lie, the military-industrial complex. Eisenhower never believed it. Eisenhower, who was the commanding, as we know, supreme commander of the Allies, he was very, very anti-military in many ways. He didn't commit our troops to any wars. They wanted him to commit to Vietnam. He wouldn't do it. He never committed us to anyone. He was very cautious about it. It was the Kennedy brothers, the two whoremongers, who got us committed. Now, let's go to Steve in Manhattan.
All right, Steve.
And I want everybody to know that Steve of Manhattan shall always be welcome and find a home here on The Right Perspective.
Yeah.
Welcome, Steve.
All right, guys. And Lyndon Baines Johnson didn't have a problem using the military-industrial complex in Vietnam. All right, guys?
That's right.
And, folks, the good news right now is it's a go. Colorado, running for governor, will be Tom Tancredo. You're going to have the same slurpy, diseased animals who will attack him as usual.
Yeah.
Pay no mind to them. This man will restore the city of Denver back to being a U.S. City again when he starts throwing those illegal invaders out of this country and out of Colorado when he becomes governor of that state.
Yeah, we need him back.
That's right. He's going to be running. It's a go. And hopefully they'll get another Republican who will be strong because the Senate seat is up too. You could have two strong candidates running. Colorado's a linchpin also for presidential politics, folks. You don't want that that state being flooded by third worlders, because you've seen is what's taken place before. And now with Tancredo running for governor of Colorado, let's hope the people give him verbal support, financial support, and people in Colorado, let's hope that they vote for him and get him elected governor, because as chief enforcement agent of that state, he could remove those animals who are in the state illegally and in the country illegally. He can get them thrown out of here. And because, obviously, you don't want Colorado turning into some of these other states where you can't win no more during presidential elections. Now, let's add the phony list is getting bigger, folks. Said it to you for a long time now. Add Rice-A-Roni giving a speech, Rice giving a speech down at Rice University, praising the election of Obama. You didn't hear it on Limbaugh this week, and you'll never hear it on Hannity because we know they're in the tank for the Republican establishment.
Yeah, Russia's been out.
She was praising him. She was going, oh, we got to get – she called it, we have to get comprehensive immigration reform passed. In other words, she's still pushing for amnesty. She goes, and she also said that we have people in our party who are anti-immigrant. She's a fraud, a phony. I've said it for so long, but they kept pushing her and pushing her. Add her to the list. I've said it for a long time. Add Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger this week said he's going to undo Prop 8.
Imagine that.
Well, I knew it all. He's a phony. He's a fraud. These people are laced within the Republican Party. He's going to undo. Undo what? Those, hey, Arnold, I don't know what country you come from, but in America, the voters in California said they don't want legalized cupcake.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference what the people want out there when it's not a liberal cause. They go straight to the courts, and he's urging those who are against Prop 8 to keep up the fight.
Of course, because he's a fraud. He's the liberal Republican wing of the Kennedy family. The guy's an absolute fraud. And then you had Melonhead Martinez. Yes, Melonhead, the creep from Cuba. Senator Martinez, also a supporter of amnesty, who this week said Republicans lost last week because of their anti-Hispanic rhetoric. This guy is a fraud. He's a phony. Rhetoric. Juan McPsycho was the biggest butt kisser. He would have he would have private meetings with the Hispanic leaders. He was praising amnesty. He was calling people who were against amnesty racist. And Juan McCain got about 30 to 35% of the Hispanic vote. He got creamed. He should be the test case of what not to do before an election or during an electional campaign.
Yeah, well, he was just reinforcing the lie that Republicans are anti-Hispanic. So he just took advantage of the situation.
Right, but and also remember that Melonhead was Bush's HUD secretary. They're the ones who were pushing, given the loans without the down payments, the American Dream Down Payment Act of 2003. He was at the ceremony praising it's a great thing. Yeah, it's a great thing. And unfortunately for us, it just means that we're going to be doomed if we're going to let the Republican establishment push around the true conservative voters, the people who really get them elected. Think about the logic of these people. The people who get you elected president and win these big elections, like down in Alabama, Mississippi had two senatorial races up, and both Republicans won down there. You know why? Because it's a conservative state. Why would you want to turn conservatives into a minority? It goes to show you they're frauds, or they're stupid, or they're dupes, or they're useful idiots, folks. And I know people in this audience don't buy that nonsense anyway. And what Brock was brought up before, with Hannity and Limbaugh, it's political hee-haw. I made a point this week to try to listen to the fat man on 500 diets and 1,000 stations, right? I couldn't even do it. I put him on. He's talking. He's doing the Bonnie Frank routine. I heard him do that 20 years ago. He's singing My Kid Lollipop, whatever. This is a joke. And then Hannity is another fraud who I didn't know this because I don't listen to him that often. But he praises Whoopi Goldberg a lot. Think about it.
Really?
He praises Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, whenever he talks about them, he has to preface his remarks with, I like Oprah Winfrey. I like Whoopi Goldberg. I don't like them, and I think they're despicable. How's that?
Right, and also he likes them, but he doesn't like the great Frank of Queens and John of Staten Island.
Yeah, well, he has to cover himself.
Well, I think he listens to your show. Remember, he used to email your show during the show.
Yeah, we're talking about it.
Right,
yeah, well, then he wouldn't let us send the instant messages to him anymore. He blocked us.
And you know what? With this political hee-haw on AM radio, I think the Democrats would be crazy to bring back the fairness doctrine. Just let these guys go. They're not doing nothing to hurt you. They're not going after race quotas. They're not going after illegal immigrants on these things. Why would you want to respond if you did have a Buchanan or a Tancredo being interviewed? You'd want to respond to them and say it's good to have illegals. Let these guys – they would be crazy to bring back the fairness doctrine. And last week I brought up – I called the Granite State the cupcake state, but I forgot to actually say why. Because the state of New Hampshire was the first state to legalize – gay marriages without a court order. They did it through their legislature. I just wanted to bring up a point, and there's no granite up there, and there are no people of granite personalities. They're cupcakes, and that New Hampshire primary should be the last in the nation. Or we should just avoid it altogether. Think about the publicity that state gets when they do that, when they have that first in the nation nonsense, right?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's a flat-out a liberal state, New Hampshire. Taken over.
The whole Northeast is
right,
lost.
But at one time, New Hampshire was a conservative state. You know? But unfortunately...
If you saw that map that they always have after the elections now with the red and blue dots?
Right.
Three-quarters of the country, or the districts, voted for McCain again, just like they did for Bush. And
right,
yet,
but then
and
again,
yet we lost.
Yeah, but you can't go by those. Sometimes those are precincts or counties they were doing. But, John, you got to realize in certain counties, there could be like 2,000 people in the county. You know what I'm saying? Like in North Dakota, is you really can't go by that.
Yeah, I know. That, because
the precincts, some are, you know, like Bush will win Kansas. I mean, McCain will win Kansas. I mean, there are counties in Kansas where there are more people in your neighborhood than in those counties, John. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's it. The Democrats always win the most populated states.
Right.
And that bails them out.
Right. And I don't think there's a representative from a congressman or congresswoman from any of the New England states anymore. I think it's all Democrat, you know?
Yeah, well, it's always been a lost cause here in the Northeast.
Right. But unfortunately, New Hampshire is a liberal state. I mean, to give that state all that publicity and the possibility of them backing a liberal Republican in a presidential primary and catapulting them during the campaign is really disastrous. Obviously, the Republican establishment couldn't give a damn, but people who are concerned about that should seriously consider the implications of keeping that as the first primary state. That's a disgrace if they actually do something like that. But that's what you have. That's what you have. Right? You have people who are incompetent, and like I said, the list gets bigger and bigger of the phony conservatives and the phony Republicans.
Yeah, yeah. The Republicans are even more despicable because you expect more from them. You know, when you turn against your own side, especially you take this Phil Graham, North Carolina. Oh, I tell you,
Lindsey Graham.
Phil Graham, Lindsey Graham. Who turns on his own party constantly. Now that the Democrats won, I guess he's trying to get in good with them. But he's infuriating.
Right.
Want to get rid of him?
He got reelected, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Big, too.
Yeah,
he's like a guy
I want to get him or rid of him. I want to get rid of Schwarzenegger.
Right.
In the case of Schwarzenegger, you may get somebody who's worse out there. That's the only problem because California's one of the worst.
My recommendation to people, the conservative voters of California, leave California and move to Oregon and Washington and take over those states, because there'd be enough issues to take them over with the Republicans that are already there and just take over those two states. Who the hell would want to stay in there unless they like the weather or something, right, in Southern California, or they lived there their whole lives?
Yeah.
Get the hell out of there.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a long road back.
Long road back.
It's going to have to be. The problem is, to get that first step on the road back, there's going to have to be such a disaster.
Yeah.
And it's going to drag the rest of us down with them.
That's it.
That's the problem.
Well, you're right about that. And look what's going on in Minnesota.
Yeah.
With the buck-toothed beaver. People don't realize.
Oh,
now,
man.
You know something? This is what gets me mad, too. Now, there was a woman in Louisiana that was murdered, had something to do Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jorge immediately sends the FBI down there. But with Acorn,
that's right,
with all those illegal votes and everything going in,
yeah.
They did absolutely nothing. Now, here's where Acorn might prove to be a vital asset, because they registered, I don't know, 50, 75,000 people in Minnesota, and right now it's going to come down to a handful of votes. So if those 50 to 75,000, those people who were registered by Acorn, I mean, if there were a lot of fraudulent votes in there, they could have tipped the election to the buck to the beaver, right?
That's right.
We're gonna have to call him the Senator Acorn now.
That's right. That's
right.
And
I don't know what Norm Coleman is doing in that state, but he should be having what do you call it? An impoundment of the votes
right.
Because they're not even doing the recount right now. What they're doing right now is some district leader is saying, "Oh, we put the wrong tally in. You put the wrong tally in. I would have those votes impounded and say, all right, how many people voted in that precinct? 1,000? Why am I showing 1,500 voted, right?
That's right.
That's what you have to do. Because the recount doesn't even start till next week.
Definitely.
And all of a sudden, these precinct leaders are coming up, "Oh, we put in the wrong tally," and that buck to the beaver is now, he was losing on election day, and he's down, I think it's within 100 votes now.
Steve, what do you think of that, what's going on with that hate crime on Long Island, huh?
Oh, those kids are going to get fried, you know that, because they're going to, whatever charges there are, they're going to pile on with the hate crime thing.
Yeah.
You know?
you know, white supremacists.
Yeah, that's all nonsense.
You know, they're white, so the poor, and that they had some goddamn priest.
Yeah, will the defense lawyer be allowed to put white jurors on there, or are we going to have a suit made of blacks?
But I also
an alien, an illegal alien was stabbed by those kids that you were talking.
No, I know, but the defense lawyer should demand to have all white jurors for those
kids.
That's right.
But I don't even think all those kids are white.
No, there's one that's like half Hispanic.
Or some, right, because there's not, yeah, right. Whatever that situation is, you know they're going to pile in.
Oh, sure.
On with that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be a big story.
Sure, they have to.
But what happened out in San Francisco, huh, where that illegal alien murdered that woman's husband
and the kid,
and the son.
Right, and what did he do? Ignore about 4 deportation orders, right?
Right, okay.
Yeah, great country.
All right, so, you know, it's so stacked. I mean,
yeah.
And now the atmosphere is going to become even worse, more toxic, because of this foreign occupier that will begin. You realize that our country will be occupied by a foreigner? That this country, that the Constitution is worthless, Steve. I mean, it's totally worthless now. Because if we had a constitution, he would have never been in all. He would have never even dared to even run. I mean, you can't get a. I was coming back from Canada, you know, and they detained me because I didn't have my birth certificate. Okay, how the hell does this son of a bitch get a passport without a birth certificate? How does he get in and out of the country? I mean, you got to have constantly the ass to have proof for this. You go to a license, you got to have proof. And this guy runs, and he doesn't even show his birth. I mean, is this what it is now?
And nobody even questions.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let's go slow here and find out.
Yeah.
Nobody even brought it up because racism.
Is this a society now that works strictly on faith? Well, if he says so. But you see, Steve, that's because of decades of the toxicity of browbeating white people into thinking that if they say anything, they're racist. And therefore, he was able to get away with it. That's why this was such a brilliant coup d'etat on this country. They were able to put this bastard in. And now they're saying, they have it on AOL, this article, threats against Obama.
Yeah, it's already starting. He's already a victim.
Yeah. Threats against Obama on the rise. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. And by the way, John, I got it from George the Atheist. Since the state is going broke, where do they get the $4 million to rename the Triborough the RFK Bridge?
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Where did they get the $4 million for that?
Well, that name will never take.
Ronnie,
and nobody's going to say that. They're still calling it the Triborough.
Ronnie from Ardmore wants to speak to you, and I'm going to go. So here's Ronnie from Ardmore. I'm going to say goodnight. And I got Brock's email.
The
news guy. And also, so the news guy says to play, if you can, to please play it sometime. Send him a copy of the archive also.
Okay.
And please play it sometime after the show for the rest of the audience. It's a riot, this interview. This is, I'm on the verge of hanging up. All right, good night.
All right.
Okay.
Let me see.
Ronnie?
All right, let me. Go ahead.
I'm here. I was waiting for your cue because is Steve still there?
Yeah, he's hooked up with you.
All right, Steve.
Steve, can you hear Ron?
Yeah, I can hear him. How's it going?
Steve, hey, it's an honor. Now I hit the trifecta. I talked to John, Frank, and I got Steve on the line.
All right. Well, it's an honor to talk to you too.
I thank you. I hope so.
You better believe it.
I stutter and stammer. I heard you this morning though on what was it, the Bennett guy?
You did hear that call?
Yeah, sure. I was up that early.
Right.
And you know, you keep pounding away, and it gives you a good feeling. The right perspective, brotherhood's getting out there.
Right.
Right. You know, and you got to keep pounding that.
So what you wanted to ask Steve, Ron?
God damn it, you had me on hold so long, I forgot. I just wanted to give him a call. Actually, no, I do ask. Steve, do you ever call down a radio station down there in southern Delaware?
So, if it's part of a syndication, it might.
No, it wasn't syndicated.
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Then it was Ron from Queens. I remember another caller on here sounded similar. This God, excuse me, I'm down here from Philly.
Right.
World champion, Philadelphia Phillies land.
Yeah, don't rub it in.
I have to. I only get it once every 25 years. So, anyway, was it Ron from Queens that used to call in late night to the Right Perspective? A guy named Ron, then.
Well, he must have been the guy who called in.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking you guys because we're regular callers here or listeners. I forget that kid's name. Yeah. His name, but he was Queens, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. I was just checking, Steve. That's the question that the New York accent and stuff like that, and I heard that I was on vacation. Jesus Christ, what's just some of it's doing on a local talk show down here?
Right. You know what the funny thing is? Today, with all these shows being syndicated, I mean, you call a show up, you could be...
It wasn't syndicated.
Right, but that wasn't a syndicated, but that must have been years back, right?
About a year or so.
About a year or so,
yeah.
Right. Then probably was Ron of Queens making that phone call.
And as long as that message gets out and the other thing is the fairness doctrine. You know, this isn't going to affect the Right Perspective, right?
No.
From what you guys say? All right. And, you know, because every email you send out there, and this is for other people listening, just put, you know, at the bottom, www.therightperspective.com.
Okay.
It'll highlight itself usually when you send the email, so the person just has to, you know, click on the website and see your news and see, you know, get the radio station on. Simple things like that get the word out. I called earlier too, and I was I'm a double caller tonight. I guess I broke the rules, but I called earlier tonight about the youth movement, and then the next caller in tonight was a young kid from the college.
Right.
I mean, this is where we got to hit, Steve, and exactly, you know, you got the immigration right with Tranquedo over there in Colorado, and we got our guy up here in Pennsylvania, the mayor.
Mayor Barletta.
Yeah, Barletta.
Right.
You know, he's hustling, and along with the youth, you know, that's where the left always grab their things from the youth.
Well, you know what it is, too? They were highlighting a lot of the stuff that was to their benefit, but there are a lot of kids out there, and I'm sure you know, they didn't fall for this nonsense either.
No,
there's a lot of guys out, young guys out there, didn't fall for this nonsense.
Black people came up to me, right, you know, you're right, good, you know, they're the ones saying you're right, you know, voting, you know, they voted the right way. It's more or less the slackers, and there's a little contingent that wanted to see black people. But I only want to even focus on the black vote. That doesn't worry me a bit, you know, because that's only 12% of the population. That's not going to really sway a
election. Well,
McCain
lost by something like 4 million votes.
I think it was 6 million.
Well, there was 4 million Republicans who stayed home.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's 4 million right there.
John,
well,
I was one of the ones hustling the vote, doing the strike and getting the car, and I've done this for years. And I told you I was going to sit on the couch for McCain. I'm more of a Ron Paul guy versus a Tranquedo, but I respect Tom Tranquedo's, you know, he'd be a good vice president for Ron Paul. Again, I know a lot of concerns. I was knocking the streets on the door, knocking on doors, saying, hey, I need your vote down here. It's close. You know, I'm close here at my precinct. And I was. I think I lost maybe, you know, all the whole Republican side lost in my ward, my precinct. But, you know, tops was 30 votes out of 1,200 voters. There's a movement, and I'm in the liberal area of suburbs of Philadelphia.
What county is that?
Area, and it was pretty. I got good response, but again, it's that final. Steve's right that the real hardcore conservative wasn't behind McCain.
No, a lot of people. Well, you can look at it this way too. Bush in 2004 got 62 million, and I believe McCain got 57 million votes. So where'd those 5 million votes go? Right?
hat on their cap that day.
Right.
The thing of it was, the kids, and I was emphasizing how I have the youth movement with me, they're basically Ron Paulites that followed Ronnie and helped Ronnie out at the voting booth. You know, I had one Huckabee fan, but the other four young kids, 18 to maybe 28, 30, and we rotated. I was there all day long, you know, but, you know, I rotated them in and out, and they were hot. They're young conservatives out there, and they're all college kids, too.
Oh, yeah.
For one. But it's so funny. Here's another story. You go pass signs out. It's almost like doing a drug deal in certain college campuses.
Right, you got it. Right.
The kids are like coming out of the wood. I said, well, don't worry about it. Man, I'm here. Anybody come here, I'll beat their asses. But they sit there and come out and they, let me put in the car real quick and I'll take off.
Yep.
The signs were up and the signs are taken down.
Yep. Right.
And I mentioned earlier, you guys Google Hereford College. Hereford College has a radio station. It's called Radio with a Hammer, and they have a picture of Lennon on. It's a left wing goddamn college. But I got kids on that campus that are looking for me and kind of underground and again, they're almost ashamed.
Yeah. All right, fellas, we're gonna wrap it up.
Okay. Hey, it has been an honor, Steve.
Sure, it's been an honor, speaking to you, Ron. And I could also tell you, on that night, on the election night at Times Square, a big percentage of that crowd who was cheering were European tourists. No kidding.
Well, Europe
tourists.
Is full of left. Europe enough, is full of communists and left wingers.
Right, and they were.
Hey, and it's moving over here. Yeah. That's
right. They were on vacation just to be here for that. I spoke to a number of people who were in that area who told me a big percentage of them were European tourists. There were a bunch of fruitcakes over there too, unfortunately.
Yeah. And that's where Western civilization really took hold,
Well, they're going to get a high dose of diversity training pretty soon. And you know what, Ron? They're not going to like it.
I think they like it already. All right. Battle on, Patriots.
All right, guys.
Battle
all
on.
Right, Ron. We will see you at the revolution.
You got it.
Sorry, Steve.
All right, guys. And break open the saddlebags.
Yeah. We could really use your help, folks. And we're going to be I'm going to do two things tonight. We're going to play that Philip Nobley interview that Frank and I had with him that time, the entire interview. And then, right after that, we'll be going into The Best of John and Frank, Volume 125. And this is from 2003 to 2004. So we'll get a double whammy tonight. And as soon as we say goodnight to Steve, I'll start up that Philip Nobley interview. And I hope Brock is out there because I think he wanted to hear this. But I'll send it to him in his email as well and to the news guy. All right, folks. Good night, Steve. Thanks a lot for hanging in there and joining us and taking Ron from Ardmore's call and hooking up with him because I know he was very anxious to ask you those questions. So
right. Well, Ron's a great caller. That's good to. Yeah. It's always good to know there's more of us out here.
Yeah. Now we have all great callers on the right perspective.
Yeah, a lot of great.
All right, Steve. Good night.
All right.
All right, Steve. Hope you enjoyed our first broadcast on Shoutcast, and I hope there was no skipping, and I hope no one was knocked offline with a buffering problem. So as we go along, it should get better and better. And News Guy, once again, thanks for all your hard work. I'll be sending you that file of the Philip Nobley interview, and I'll also be sending it to Brock. Thanks for giving me his email address, and folks... Stay tuned now for the Philip Nobley interview that Frank and I did with him on the bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, which Philip Nobley didn't like and said that we were no different than Tojo. So we challenged him on that. And then we'll get into The Best of John and Frank, Volume 125. All right, folks, good night. See you next Friday, 10 o'clock. And hang in there. It's going to be a long battle, but... this is a great country as well, and it's the people that make the country, not the politicians. Remember that. Good night, folks.